just a mirror, you need tag notification right there. I caught a couple of them, I didn't have them. I had to know when I should have knocked them away.
All you gotta do is bust a few spray cans. Learn their lesson.
It went a little further than that. They have to come back to us. It's all about respect. Respect is basic.
How would you handle the liability and anything else?
Yeah. He was the one that we didn't hear back.
So the city would have a 10-year lease?
Did not hear back from him.
Yeah. So you like, could you technically lease it?
Try to look at it.
Lease a piece of it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind though, except if you were here.
You're just fine now, we're not focused on your city anymore.
Good evening. It's 5:30 PM and I would like to call the meeting of the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee to order. And if you would take a roll call, please, determination if we have a quorum.
Chairperson Hanneman.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Lapeer.
Present.
Member Barrett.
Here.
Member Cardinal. Member Justice.
Here.
Member Millay. Member Wickstead.
Here.
Quorum is present.
All right, then. We do have a quorum. This is the time for public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. So, therefore, I will entertain public comment. And I see Mark. Just tell us who you are, please.
Good evening. Mark Salinas, Arts and Culture Coordinator. I'm pleased to already know a couple of people on the committee. Redevelopment annually funds special events from a portion of the revolving fund. For the past 2 years, fiscal year 15-16 and 16-17, 40% of this amount has been allocated to the Cultural Commission for recommendation of funding towards events with a strong emphasis on arts and culture. The topic I wish to present to you would be how the Cultural Commission could potentially manage this 40% in a new manner. According to the city charter, the functions of the Cultural Commission is to make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors regarding grants in aid to individual and groups of artists, cultural groups, and arts organizations. What I would look to propose to the Cultural Commission at our next meeting on March 13th would be to set aside 5% of that allocated 40 in perpetuity, which is about $2,000 a fiscal year. Put that aside to build an opportunity for individual artists to apply to special events. This would be, you know, being held to the same accountability, the same application process as our current organizations. My intent is to present this to you so I may further discuss it with the Cultural Commission on March 13th. Would there be any questions?
This is not an agenda item. How can we discuss this, or would this go over to Lee?
You can ask questions of the member of the public, but you just can't deliberate and you can't direct Lee to do something, because then that would be a decision. But you definitely can ask questions of the member, and you know, some discussion back and forth, so long as there's no deliberation. But I can let you know if you've gone past that point.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, because I know you are so good at that. So, okay.
Well, and I can also say that if you're with the Lee Plummel Community Development Director, that this is affected by a later item that you have, which is the allocation of funds and estimating funds into the future allocated to special events. Obviously, that affects the amount that goes to them. But I think it's within the Cultural Commission's power to amend their policies and procedures of how they want to allocate that specific allocation. So I don't think what Mark's talking about requires an action of the RAC. But if you have any questions, you know, you're welcome to ask.
Okay, then I will ask if any of the members have any questions.
Could you flesh it out a little more, Mark, on what you're going to do with the 5%?
The 5%, you know, is approximately $2,000 a year, and the idea would be to set that aside in this fiscal year, so fiscal year 18-19. We actually have maybe $2,000 to $4,000 to present to individual artists, challenging them to present events within the district itself. Reno has a similar policy across the states. Cities always offer similar opportunities to organizations and artists, and I believe this opportunity would stir that pot so that some of these artists can rise to the top and produce a more dynamic art scene in Carson City.
Would that be on a juried basis, or you select, or how's that
work? It would be on the same basis as we, using the same application that we use currently for organizations. March 15th last year, we were, the cultural committee before I was here was discussing new rubric systems for scoring. And with this potentially in the future, we could probably add to that to make sure that the individual artists are not only welcomed but held to a standard as well.
So the commission as a group would make the choices.
Correct.
Any other questions?
Just say, Mark, I think that that's a great idea. It's out of the box idea, and I appreciate you bringing that forward. And I would support you and with the Arts and Culture Commission to make sure that that happens.
Thank you.
Yeah, as Lee said, I think this is more back to the arts and culture because the monies that were allocated by this body basically are for your use within the Redevelopment Authority, and I think that's the only string attached, as far as I know, Lee.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, more.
Hi, how are you guys doing? My name's Kyle Horvath. I'm the president of the board at the Brewery Arts Center. I'm also a board member on the Downtown Business Association. And while I'm not speaking representing either one of those organizations, as a person who's involved in both the arts community and the business community, I wanted to come and speak about something that I'm not going to be able to stay later on onto the meeting and comment on later. So looking at the review of your agenda, there's a whole lot of exciting proposals about how to spend additional funds that you have to better the downtown. And I just wanted to say that, again, as a person who's in the arts and the business community, I'm really excited about the Empty Windows project that's going to be proposed. It's a redevelopment model that's been proven to help downtown communities where artists aren't just using their skills to entertain us, but using their creativity and their unique abilities to actually help drive economy and bring attention to vacant areas and blighted areas. Through my travels, I've enjoyed other communities who've used this before. It's been proven to work there. I know that it could work here. But really it defines the relationship of what can be between artists and the business community. So again, not getting into it too much, I feel like this is a really good project, and I urge you to consider it and consider collaborating with all the other organizations that are excited about this possibility. So thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for him? None? Okay. Any other public comments? Okay, seeing none, then we will go ahead and go down the agenda, which is, let's see, the wrong page here, sorry. For possible action, approval of the minutes dated November 7th, 2016. Anybody have any comments?
I move to approve the minutes from the November 7th, 2016 Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee meeting.
Second. Anybody have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have one abstention because he was not here, and that's Supervisor John Barrett. So we'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any dissenting? None. Seeing none, the minutes are approved of November 7th. Okay, the next is item number four, meeting items 4A for possible action to elect a RAC chair and vice chair for 2017. I've been the chair for 2 years, so I am stepping down. So I will entertain discussion or a motion for a new RAC chair?
I move the vice chairman, Mr. Garrett LaPierre, be moved up to chair.
I'm not opposed to that, but my...
I nominate you.
I'm okay with that. My term, though, is going to be out once someone else comes in, and I take it that someone has applied.
Someone has applied, so therefore, he will be going off as soon as we...
Appreciate that, John.
New person mistake.
Chris, would you be interested?
Sure. I would be delighted to take the chair position.
I would make a motion to appoint Chris Wigstead as the new chairperson of the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. I don't know if this is under the same agenda item for vice chair before I turn it over. Okay, so we now have a new RAC chair. Congratulations, Chris. I'm going to be throwing the gavel towards you in a moment. Now we need to elect a vice chair for 2017. I'll entertain some nominations.
Ronnie, are you able to be a vice chair after being?
I don't think so. Is that, am I? I don't know.
I don't recall that there's any prohibition since you were the chair already. So I guess if you wanted to be the vice chair, that's fine. I don't think there's any specific to this board. Yeah, no. I don't think there's any prohibition. I think it's just the only requirement is that every year that a chair and vice chair be elected.
Okay, well, I will accept that then if so be. So I guess I entertain a motion for that.
I'd like to make a motion to elect Ronnie Henneman as vice chair of the RAC.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you very much. So without further ado, we're not going to change chairs because I'm told that is too cumbersome. So therefore, here you go.
So I guess I will take over from here. We've covered item 4A, and I'd now like to move on to item 4B, which is to look at a time extension for the facade improvement program. Lee, did you want to go into this item?
Yes, I'll cover this this item. Thank you, and again, good evening, Lee Plummel, Community Development Director. This item is to approve a 180-day time extension in which to start facade improvements previously approved for it's actually five separate properties: 210 South Carson Street, 110 West Telegraph Street, 307 North Carson Street, and 206 to 210 North Carson Street, 402 and 408 North Carson Street. So if you recall, I think it was at your November meeting, you had some revisions to the facade improvement program policies. As that moved forward, the Board of Supervisors took the opportunity to address an issue which had come up before, which was that the initial deadline of 6 months to complete the improvements for these facade improvements has turned out to be a short time frame given given several factors, including not the least of which is the ability to get contractors out to get the quotes and actually get work done for these types of projects. So up on the screen there, I have listed the total, all of the applications that have been submitted and improved. There's one that has been removed now for the poorhouse sign on Telegraph Street, actually on Curry Street. They've withdrawn their application, which has freed up a little bit of funding for that. Carson Jewelry alone has already started. You'll note on the top there, those others have been completed. And the ones that are remaining are the lower half in yellow, and those are the properties for which the extensions are being requested tonight. The Board of Supervisors, as I was saying, they took the opportunity in these changes, in the other changes where they were talking about eligible improvements, ineligible properties, to address the issue, and they talked about authorizing the RAC to grant a 180-day extension. Furthermore, they changed the policy as noted in your packet to require, it's within the first 180 days that construction must start, so they must pull their building permit and start construction, and then an additional 180 days after getting the building permit to complete the improvements, and then furthermore allows RAC to grant the 180-day extension. So these properties are requesting the extension. You have the authority to grant the extension. That would give these properties an additional 180 days from the date that's up there to start construction, after which time they'd have the 180 days to complete it. I know there's a couple of the applicants are in the audience that can answer questions. I didn't really plan on having a presentation on each of these. The information regarding the individual awards are in there, and there I will note there's a couple. The Tom Johnson of 307 North Carson Street was unable to attend tonight, and also the realtor and representative of the Kitzmeyer LLC property was unable to attend tonight. But if you have any questions, I can pass that along to them. And so the staff's recommendation is that you grant the 180-day extension. I think you've heard the arguments both in their packets tonight and previously as we've gone through these. So we're recommending that you grant the 180-day extension for these properties.
I have a question. I don't remember who Kitzmeyer was, LLC.
That's the one where it's the Hannafin's Antiques. It's that building.
Well, the only question that I have is it's already been approved by the Board of Supervisors. I don't know why it's coming back here. I thought we made the recommendations and then it went to the board, not backwards like this. I mean, I have no problems with any of it.
No, they didn't approve the extensions. They modified the policy to allow RAC to grant extensions. There was, as written previously, it was drop dead, 180 days to complete, no extensions allowed.
So I have a question. Have there been any other applicants? I have some slight concerns about the duration. I mean, 180 days seems to me a bit long to start because we're talking, like in the case of the horseshoe, which we just approved, that's, you know, we're looking at next year potentially. I mean, I know that's not what the plan is, but that's, if there were other applicants in the pipeline, I would say they need to use it or lose it and then come back and reapply. But if there are no other applicants, that's would have a bearing on my thinking.
I anticipate actually having an application that we may bring back for a special meeting in March. Carson, so speaking of the funds available, so looking at this chart that's up there also, if you look at the spent plus pending, so this is what's been allocated or spent, and with some savings on a couple of these projects on the top where they came in lower than anticipated and they're completed, so there was some savings there. I actually expect from talking to Mark Schmidt at Carson Jewelry and Loan, I expect that number to be less when he's reimbursed as well. We're present before that, we're presently at about the $10,500 that's available for this year, plus we'll be talking about on the next item about supplementing the fund starting July 1.
Yeah, just so I'm clearly, I think I understand that the change made to the program was 180 days from the start of construction, or is that correct? Require the construction improvement start within the 180 days. And then once it starts, they have 6 months to complete that from that point.
Correct.
That was the change.
So let's say, yes, your approval, let's say 3 months from now, construction starts. Then they have 6 months from when construction starts. So it's not a year from this date necessarily. It's a year from when, it's 6 months from when they start.
And so as I understand it, RAC can grant one 180-day extension to either the above or either the construction, the first 180 days or the 180 days from start of construction.
After that 180-day period, whether it's, let's say, the construction time, because that's the latter time of the two, the does the application become null and void at that point? They'd have to come back and re-ask? Just
correct.
So to be clear?
Yes. They'd have to come back with a new application with whatever funds would be available at that time.
As I recall, there was discussion that the actual official start of building is when you issued a permit. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. It's within 100 days of building permit approval, right? So to complete it, it's when I say start of construction, yes, that trigger is to get approval of a building permit. And they have the 188 days to get the building permit, and then that permit starts the clock on construction as well.
Okay, so let's walk through this real quick. As I understand it, we could extend either one of the time frames, but the groups asking for the extension, at least right now, are just asking for an extension on the start of construction, not necessarily extending out a year on how long construction would take. So do we have concerns either way with that level of extension? I mean, I could definitely see construction taking a year being somewhat cumbersome for the city.
My only concern is that the money is tied up when it could be put to use, and I don't think that was the intent of the program. So, I mean, there are, for future projects, there are could be future funds. That's my concern. Again, if there aren't any on the pipeline, then I'm not, what are those competing funds? There aren't any at the moment, but if there were.
Yeah. Well, I think we have to take into consideration also that one of the things that we learned is, we went from three bids down to one bid because you could not get contractor bids. So I'm not sure that you can even start construction, as soon as you had hoped you would. So I personally have no problems with this at all.
I think you make a great point, Jason. If there's a bunch of, if the pipeline's clogged up with a bunch of people waiting, and we're going to have to deal with this on a case-by-case basis, correct? So would these people come and ask for extensions, it's a case-by-case basis?
Yes.
Okay. So if there's, some circumstances that maybe we don't agree with, we can deal with that at that time. But that's a good point.
Yeah, so as I understand it, we would look at the situation in at the time, and we'd be able to say, hey, yes, we can do an extension, or we've got some other folks in the pipeline.
All right, and I see that the motion here anyway is just for three different properties. So I guess that really addresses your question. So.
Okay, well, yeah, at this point, do I have a motion for the item? Sorry. Yeah, at this time, we'll take public comment on this item. Hi. If you could state your name.
David Schreiber. I'm the owner of 210 South Carson Street. I do appreciate you hearing a possible extension, and I'm here for questions if you have any.
I just want to hear your excuses, Dave, that's all.
I go into all that. Construction was long and hard. We kind of got hit with a couple bills from Q&D. We weren't anticipating weather, blah, blah, blah. My intent, to be quite honest, whether I'm in granted or not, I'm doing my building, guys. It's just a matter of time and money and anything else. What I'm going to do, I don't anticipate taking longer than a week, really. I think I'll be in and out of there pretty quick because tearing the face of my building off in any kind of weather is not going to be a good thing. So I very much anticipate moving quickly. I would be surprised if I need all the funds, but I definitely want to stay in there for them just in case. And I'm open to questions if anybody has any. We're Kaleidoscope right downtown, new business, trying to make a go of it, and doing the best we can right now. I think we're doing pretty well.
Well, if we keep up with these winds, not only will your sign be gone, as it almost is, but so will the front fascia.
I'm bringing my ladder back tomorrow, Ronnie. I will have that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Before my wife sees it, because I already went, oh, boy, I'm in trouble now. I got to get it. Yes.
So you're doing this work yourself?
No, sir. No, I have.
You have a sub? A
contractor? I have contractors. Speaking to that, I did. I know a lot of contractors in town, and I had a very difficult time coming anybody out to give me a bid.
Yeah.
Just because they're buried or the job's too small or there's a lot of excuses. I do have two good bids, and I'm going to move forward with one of them. I just got to decide when and how and who's busy at that time. So, no, I won't be doing the work myself.
Yeah.
No, sir.
So, and that Is that part of what slowed you up, or is that what you've heard others have been slowed
up? I kind of saw it coming, so I probably had a leg up on a lot of people. What slowed me up was the construction. I mean, we had no sidewalk for a while, then the floods, the whole sandbag thing.
Did it flood?
My basement did.
I'm sorry.
It's coming in from all these kind of new areas now too. But I appreciate you guys hearing that and giving us a chance to get caught up. The 6 months, I thought it was going to be plenty of time, but it wasn't. And thanks. Thank you to Lee for listening to my my tale of woe. Any questions?
I think I make a motion.
Do we have any public comment before we? Okay, seeing none, then I guess Garrett?
I move to approve a 180-day time extension in which to start previously approved facade improvements for 210 South Carson Street and 307 North Carson Street to July 6, 2017, for 206 to 210 North Carson Street to August 1st, 2017, and for 402 and 408 North Carson Street to October 3rd, 2017, subject to the conditions of approval in the staff memo.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion or comments? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. Unanimous. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Schreiber, for your comments. All right. Let's see. On to item 4C here. I'm going to discuss the allocation of undesignated redevelopment funds. Lee, would you like
right,
to go ahead?
Sure. I'll go through this, give a little bit of a presentation before we get into this, and I'll kind of give an overview of how recommendation on how we can get through this. There's going to be a lot of discussion on this, obviously, and a lot of alternatives and options for funding, picking, selecting projects and funding them this year or next year and going forward. This item is to make recommendations to the Redevelopment Authority regarding the allocation of undesignated redevelopment funds for fiscal year 2017-18 and estimating future allocations for the following years to implement redevelopment objectives. So last year was the first year we really put together you as a RAC membership, and then going forward to the Board of Supervisors, Redevelopment Authority, put together maybe 5 years capital improvements plan, but it's really a program and projects plan for the use of redevelopment funds, looking at estimates and out starting to look at projected revenues and how those funds get allocated in future years. So we've committed now to doing that each year. We can evaluate how the funding has gone and been used over the last year, look out in additional years into the future, and modify it each year to meet the more recent objectives. So that's included in your packet, last year's stuff. We do it this time of year so that we can get your recommendations forward to the Redevelopment Authority, so that this is the time of year when we're building the budget, so that you can start putting items into the various accounts and start allocating funds and get it into the budget. So you'll remember last year we had these projects that were selected and itemized and given some funding allocations over the next few years to include the downtown side streets. Those are the streets between Carson Street and Curry that are not included in the eighth sales tax plan of expenditure, allocating some funds to that. Downtown event structure, infrastructure and equipment, from which you've now recommended allocation of $10,000 for a downtown projector, but there's still funds in there. And as I go through this, we'll get into the details of all this, so I'm just going to give a high overview first.
Can I just interject here? It really wasn't to be a downtown projector. It was to be a projector for use by whomever in, I guess, the redevelopment zone. I notice you've called it McFadden Plaza projector. It really wasn't meant to be that. It was for sports. It was for anything. So
right.
I don't think
okay.
It was downtown.
I think that's the place. That's part of the plan to use it on. Is part of getting it is to have the plan in place so that there are movie nights on McFadden Plaza. So I think that's one of the primary things, but not necessarily exclusively for that. Point taken. We're now allocating funds annually for the city to take on street closures for special events to help facilitate the special events downtown. Obviously, we have just talked about the facade improvement program. We have our annual special event funding, which will be coming up in May for RAC to make recommendations. And then we have kind of lower on the list of priorities from last year, the utility extension assistance program, which we haven't been used, and I still need to come back to you and the Redevelopment Authority to develop the policies and procedures for that. We haven't had any requests for it yet. And then the Greening William Street project, again, another street project to allocate some redevelopment funds to help out with that. So we will get into here, and then over the last couple of RAC, we discussed possible other projects to be included for future years. So this is kind of the short list. Well, I guess this is the complete list, which you may add to, of other projects that you will be considering tonight and prioritizing, and then ultimately allocating some funds to the priority projects over the next few years for planning purposes. Specifically, we've just to go over, and again, high level at this time, we can get into more detail as we discuss it. Some things that were mentioned were the Telegraph to Spear Street Alley, which is actually a public right-of-way between Telegraph and Spear Street. It's behind the old Horseshoe Club. Some improvements to that. Other McFadden Plaza enhancements, and specifically a sunshade was mentioned, and Public Works estimates for a good sunshade a cost of about $25,000 to $50,000 for that. We talked about downtown ATM installation, electric car charging stations, downtown magazine rack, other street improvements that may be identified. The East Spear Street in front of the Children's Museum was identified, but under that category, you could, as we evaluate streets in future years, there may be some other streets that would warrant enhancements in the future as well. Public art program was mentioned, and again tonight the convention and the Visitors Bureau is here to talk about more detail of what that might include to allocate some funds to that, in addition to that are separate from special event funds. And then also was mentioned, and I gave you late information, was a code enforcement officer to pay for more enforcement, and specifically for the redevelopment area of signs and other nuisance issues, and that would be ongoing at a cost of about $50,000 per year. So let me on public art, the Visitors Bureau does have a 10-minute or so presentation on you to present to you. So before you get into any discussion on those, I'd like to give them the opportunity to give that presentation so you know more about what they're proposing. And I think, again, the final slide I have before getting into a little bit more discussion would just be to go over how I think I would suggest that we go through this. We've done this before similarly, but I just want to outline it here. We do it with CDBG and other things, but you know, we're going through this, discuss projects and get questions and clarifications, probably along with that, get public comment and any other input, allow the Visitors Bureau to give their presentation. From that discussion, we may come up with some additional programs to add to the list. The next step three would be for you to individually rank the programs. I set a sheet in front of you all at the beginning of the meeting in case you want to pencil it in, because when it gets time to tell me, maybe it might be easier for yourselves if you have it written in there, just to go down the list and give me the numbers. Well, so we'll take those individual ranks of projects and come up with an average rank that hopefully there's some consensus to that in terms of the general ranking of the projects amongst themselves, and then we'll get into the individual that's into the spreadsheet that you have to actually start allocating funds, both for exist. We can modify the existing ones that are on there, go up and down, remove funds, give more funds, and also add funds for these projects going through. So if that sounds good, and I see Chris shaking his head to move forward with that procedure, I think at this time I'll move over to the spreadsheet to kind of talk about any other questions or clarifications on any projects, and then maybe we could allow the Visitors Bureau to give their presentation.
Yeah, I like that process, Lee.
So again, here's the sheet. Once we have the discussion and give you some time and to add any projects on there, we'll let you rank them 1 through 8, 9, or 10, however many there are. We'll come up with the average rank, and I'll sort them according to that, and then I'll plug them back into this spreadsheet, which then we can start, based on your recommendations, putting in allocations of funds. So it might take a little time, but depending on how much consensus you have, but we'll work through it.
Okay. So we're going with questions at this point, Lee? All right. One question I had was the utility extension assistance. It doesn't look like that's additive over the course of time, so the 40,000 vaporizes this year, or does it remain?
So in the spreadsheet, it could be, that's up to you. It can be carried forward. So as I've noted on this, we have the undesignated, the utility extension, and the unused special event equipment infrastructure funds that could be carried forward and added to next year, or they could just go away into the undesignated category and be carried forward for other things. That's up to you.
Okay.
The question I have for you, Lee, is how much, what's the need for the utility extension assistance? I think that may be a good thing. Or do you think that's something that's going to be a need for the next fiscal year?
It's hard to predict. There's, properties that have come up for discussion, and I'll say them because they have come up for discussion before, but like the Copeland Lumber site is an example that has a power line going right through the middle of it. That's going to be, you can't go vertical with anything there because of that. It's going to be costly to realign it there. So there's no plans for that site currently. Someday there will be. We've had a request in the past to help with a water line extension elsewhere on South Carson Street, although, even that's probably not a really likely. There aren't many places within the redevelopment district where that infrastructure is not already to the property. Perhaps as we get back into development, it's on South Carson Street and on the west side of the undeveloped property towards Spooner Junction. There's probably some places in there that would develop, but since the water line extension request a few years ago on South Carson Street, I haven't had anybody come ask me about it.
Let me just frame that question in a different way. Is there a development that would break ground in the next 6 months if they had utilities to them within the redevelopment district, one or two?
Not to my knowledge.
I had a question. We had a discussion about the blue line restriping on that. That doesn't happen, and I don't know where that is. Is that fall here, or is that a separate item?
Yeah, and I didn't see that on your budget either.
Yeah, you're right. I need to go back and look at that. That needs to be carried forward. In fact, we're using it and still looking into getting matching grant funds. The Visitors Bureau is helping us as well, and transportation is looking into it. So we're approaching it from all angles, actually, to really get some matching at it, to get a historic tour app done with the Conventioners Bureau and get some more sidewalks done with transportation. So I'm hoping that's outside of these categories. I think that's outside of these categories, but that may be a couple. Do you remember how much that was?
That was about 27,000.
Yeah, I might have to go back and look. I'll verify that. I hope there's a chance that might need to come out of this undesignated to carry forward, but I think that might be on a different line item, and that's why it was excluded from this.
Okay. I have a question about the McFadden Plaza enhancement, the sunshade structure. I've forgotten what that's going to look like or what we were talking about there. Oh, we don't know?
No, we don't know what that would look like. So there's, and I should say for a lot of these things, I think we need to know what the priorities are before spending a lot of time on getting bids and cost estimates on them. I know that for some of these things, your next question, well, how much money do we need to put at for that thing as well? But no, I don't think anybody's designed a sunshade. But I think I asked engineering specifically on that and came up with the 25 to 50,000 numbers, but I don't know what they had in mind.
John had a question, I think. Sorry, Garrett.
First of all, given that was brought up about the blue line, I'm just curious, given what we're going to hear from the Visitors Bureau, how much is the Visitors Bureau contributing to that blue line, do you know? Or maybe Joel will know when he gets up here.
Yeah, it looks like he can answer that. But yeah, no, I think we're still working on that.
Okay, moving on from that, I have a couple of other questions. One of my questions is, why is the downtown, and I'm new here, obviously, so there's probably a good reason that I don't know about, the downtown facade program going out 17, 18, and beyond 20,000 per year?
Just because at the time, that's what RAC and the Redevelopment Authority thought would be needed. I think it was anticipated that we wanted to front load it. There was going to be immediate need and rush of requests to fill, which turned out to be the case. I could tell you, so going back to the last one, if we have 10,000 available for the rest of this year, or 10 to 12,000 available rest of this year, plus 20,000, we have a project coming in that will probably take up at least half of that, but I don't know of anybody else that will request beyond that. So it's hard to, right now I can't predict that that's going to be totally enough, but I don't have applications that would exceed it at this point.
But we're in February of 2017 and we're putting together the 17-18 budget, and there'd be only 20,000 there if you had none left, right? Secondarily, I see the special event funding is going down each year, but it's sort of waning slowly. Is that by design, and what's the reason, first of all? And secondly, is the desire eventually to phase that part of it out?
The direction that I've been given by both the RAC and then by the Redevelopment Authority is that the direction is to phase out special event funding, to giving the money directly to individual events and transition that into the other categories of supporting special events through the street closures and other infrastructure.
I seem to recall that. So why so slowly?
That's up to you for a recommendation and redevelopment, how it goes. I think right now, in fairness, again, you heard from Mark with the Visitors Bureau and the Cultural Commission on the other side. Remember, as this funding goes down, so does the special events for arts and culture events. I think that's completely intentional at this point, but the effect of that will be that eventually those arts and cultural events won't be supported at all through redevelopment funds. But those are the types of things you need to consider and make recommendations on tonight and into the future.
So at this juncture, the idea is to phase them out but give them time, I take it. Thanks.
Please.
So to follow up on the shade structure, and this is just a comment, not necessarily a question, I think the way that the roof is built over the stage with the metal, I think that there's a way to attach a canvas cover to that. So I, I think that's a shade structure. I don't necessarily know if the plaza is going to have ability to do that without doing tables or something of those of that sort, and where you lose square footage on the plaza itself. So I'm okay with the stage having that, because you know if the guys playing music, they don't need to die of heat stroke. But taking up square footage on the plaza, I don't know if that's something we want to spend money on. That's just my two cents.
From what I understand is that there already is a shade structure planned and funded basically out of the original redevelopment fund, as well as over the side behind the fountain. They're going to be putting a shade, you know, just a sunshade right on top of that, but that was part of the original plan. So I don't think that takes this into consideration at all. So that's supposed to be. Last I talked to Danny, that was part of the overall funding.
Yeah, I think there's a smaller shade structure that's.
Another question on the something that's come up in the budget in the past is the RSVP funding of the fireworks displays for 4th of July. Is that again going to come out of, does that need to be a designated line item? Or is there been city funding for that, or more formally, or is it self-funding?
I'd have to go back and look at my notes from last year. I forget the action.
Lee, I believe it was a special event, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's under the special, right. It comes out of the special event category. It was an application. I remember some discussion on that and what the future of that funding would be.
I mean, you have some special events that are just, I just mentioned,
fact,
because some special events are line items on this budget, and that one's not, but it seems like it's likely to come back here if it doesn't get help picked up somewhere else.
And as I recall, that was brought in front of the Board of Supervisors for further discussion. They gave them, I think, $5,000 last year or whatever. And she had wanted that to be a line item out of here, but nothing was formalized.
Yeah, I think when it was at the Board of Supervisors, it ended up being that they either required a match, and it may have ended up being fully funded privately. It was one of those. Again, I didn't not prepared and don't remember exactly what the action was. So I'd have to go back and look to even see if that's something that we anticipate coming back as a request this year or not.
Do you have any other comments or questions on the list as it is as it stands now?
I just want to ask, the late material is the one we're working from now?
On the board, I would say yes. I have the version that's the late material.
Okay, if we're going through this, may I make a comment or two here on a couple of things that that I have some issues with is the downtown ATM installation assistance. I know it was explained in here, but one thing that we've forgotten is that the casinos all have ATMs as well. And I think this is something actually the banks were doing, and Greater Nevada Credit Union was looking at putting an ATM downtown. So that would be their penny or two. Car charging station, I know, Jason, that was yours, but there's one over in Mills Park, so it's already, in the redevelopment district. And then I guess those were the only two that I had questions on.
Well, more specifically, the parking or the electric car station's like right here, I think, if that's the one.
Right,
I think it's right at the corner here, yeah. Oh, but close enough, yeah. Mills Park, close enough, so. It's not a supercharger station as per Tesla that was discussed, but it's a generic station that's available. I think, believe it's free. So,
if we're in the discussion phase, is there any appetite for increasing the facade improvement for at least this second year? There was a rush, but I have to believe that in the next 15 to 18 months, there may be more than one to come in, or one or two. So if there's appetite for that, I'm curious as to whether it resides here.
I certainly have an appetite for that, and I think as we go through and kind of prioritize these things, we'll be able to funnel some of that money that way. But I agree with you, John, $20,000 is not going to be enough to keep it going in the next couple of years at least. Year five or six, that may be enough, but next couple of years, we want to see a few more bucks there. And I'll just hop into a couple questions I have. Lee, on the code enforcement officer, is that in addition to what we have now?
Yeah, we're not looking. We haven't made any requests from the department to find other funding for existing code enforcement officers. So this would be, I think was the intent of this, would be to add a code enforcement officer to do this.
And that code enforcement are going to be things like the encroachments, signs, and how would the NID play in to maybe the code enforcement officer?
The neighborhood improvement district. I don't think they would have. There's no funding provided through that district for that. But that, I guess that's something they can keep an eye out for is the maintenance and other, like you said, encroachment permit, meeting the encroachment permit standards, signs.
So basically we need another parking officer. I mean, that would be their biggest duty, right? The two-hour parking, enforcing that.
Interject here, go ahead.
Actually, so since it's Ronnie's, I would defer to her to what she had in mind for this. I think if this goes forward and we really think we really think it's needed, and I could show, so code enforcement-wise, citywide, the reason is there's a delay in responding to certain things, and that the signs are down here, is that the volume is significantly gone up of the cases that code enforcement is dealing with over the last, three or four years, without any increase. The parking enforcement has come over to our department, and that's almost entirely downtown within redevelopment where they do that. But I would foresee that the person that's the redevelopment code enforcement officer doing the parking and doing other code enforcement issues within the redevelopment area, and it would then free up the other code enforcement officers to do the enforcement elsewhere in the city.
And I think my intent, Garrett, was not to make it an unfriendly downtown, but there have been some signs up there for a year and a half that are supposed to be temporary signs, and others that really should have come down by now. And whenever we ask, or whenever I've asked about it, it has been, well, we don't have the staffing to do that. So I think if we want our downtown to look terrific, and I think we have to put some money where our mouth is, actually. And I think a code enforcement officer would be a good way to make sure that the downtown is maintained the way we had hoped it would be. So that was really what my intention was when I asked to have this put on.
So does that mean that the code enforcement officer would work only within the redevelopment areas?
Well, I think if when we got into the details, we would need to justify the percentage of expenditure coming from the real redevelopment fund versus the time spent by that enforcement officer within the redevelopment district. So there would have to be a direct correlation. If it's 100%, then that would be the case, and if it's not, it'd be less. And you will soon see this didn't come from me, and I didn't say we're not going to do enforcement downtown unless we get more code enforcement officers, but it takes time to get to more things. We've had other, with the downtown project, we put in abatement worrying about where people had signs while cars were driving all over and they had enough problems with the businesses downtown. We'll get back on it in the next couple weeks. Actually, you'll start to see some they're going to get out there and start to do the downtown sign again. So, we're going to do it, but it's just the ability of time and staying on top of things is a little less right now.
And to just one last question to follow that up, that makes sense. Thank you for the backstory, Ronnie. I appreciate that. And the one thing I'll say on that is I think that we can have a further talk between RAC and the Neighborhood Improvement District. I think there might be a way to make that work for both entities rather than just put it all on one. Be able to split a cost if we can make that work. I can't speak for either one, but I think that that's a possibility and we should explore it. Has there been any talk at the city level of getting rid of the two-hour parking in the downtown core? Just curious.
No, has anybody mentioned it? Sure. I think at this point, and with public works, I don't think there's any serious consideration at this time. I think we're still managing, monitoring how things are working, but, it's been two-hour parking in the current plan is to continue with the two-hour parking strategy to make sure that the parking spaces in the core are turning over and available for customers.
And this is kind of across a couple of these things. And I was wondering on particularly the facade improvement and on code enforcement, is there any code that requires a building to be maintained to a certain standard? I can think of a couple down there, like a certain motel that's downtown with a lot of peeling paint. Or Jack's Bar, of which I have a piece that was sitting on the Fifth Street sidewalk, which is a bit more major project to bite off. But is that something that code enforcement can say, owner, you must do something, and we as RAC can say, here, we have a program to help you with that as well?
Yes, there is a property maintenance code standard that has minimum requirements. We've recently, meaning in the last few months, started a comprehensive program to address that where the building department and code enforcement and others are going out to some of these properties. We haven't got to some of the properties you've mentioned yet because that's a little bigger than code enforcement. That's actually under the building code, property maintenance. But yes, there is, and having assistance with that would help.
I just wonder. Those are big projects. I mean, Jack's Bar, for example, is what last estimates I was saw 100,000, and it's probably just much more than that now. And it could be, that would take a lot of funds. But in some ways, it would be nice to see that happen rather than, the other improvements that maybe could happen in smaller scale.
Well, I think that goes back to the code enforcement officer, funding that so that person could come back to Lee or whomever he designates and then get that going to Public Works or whatever, wherever it goes.
One last thing I forgot to mention. I agree with you about the downtown ATMs. I think that's a private business deal, and private business should make that work. Heck, if I could go put an ATM, I'd go do that right now. So, I don't think there needs to be any money from redevelopment to make that work, and private business can handle that.
What he said.
And the magazine racks, same way.
I would say on the magazine racks, I don't know that Paul, because Paul Johnson from Homes and Land magazine brought that to us. I don't know if he actually wanted any money from us. I think that he wanted more permission to be able to do something like that. And I think having, am I opposed to Homes and Land being downtown? No, I'm not opposed to that. That being said, does having paper around there get me a little worried? Yeah, you want to make sure that that's picked up. But I think if we can make it where it's no cost to us, that's something we should explore.
That's exactly why I brought that up, because it's one of those things that we're looking at possibly funding, which I think should be Homes and Land or whomever should be funding that themselves. So,
well, and I think further to that, if I remember the discussion, it was also a potentially project to make them consistent across the downtown, which would look less blightful or maybe just less ugly, so to speak. So, yeah, so. That was my belief on is if we could do something, even if it was a small amount, to make sure that they were consistent and well-built or something, that would be a good thing. Okay, so we've had a chance to discuss some of the various projects here. Lee, were we going to go back to...
What about other?
Oh, yeah, other.
Other.
I have another, which goes back to your other. Jason, and that's Jack's Bar. I'd like to see that on the list.
So that is, so picking specific properties like that, so if I, you know, does that fall under the facade improvement program and funding it? So we if you're going to start picking properties like that, you really have to have a willing property owner.
I understand there is a willing property owner.
I haven't heard that, so. Okay.
Well, that leads me to ask, who is that willing property owner?
The owners of Jack's Bar, but you know, if you don't want to put it that way, I mean, you've got Children's Museum down there and McFadden Plaza, which are, you know, places. How about just saying the corner of whatever, Fifth Street and whatever the corner is there, Fifth and Carson Street, you know, is revitalizing Fifth and Carson Street if you don't want to put a name.
You know, my only issue with that is you have guys like Mr. Shriver, who's gone and done paperwork, gone through the process of willfully coming to the city and asking for help to improve his property. If they're serious about that, I think that they can go through the same process that a facade improvement applicant would go to. But I'm not opposed to it. I think that'd be a good thing, but I think they need to take the initiative to that.
Well, there's a three-party system there because you've got the Historic Commission that is also involved in there. So could be a three-way, I don't know, but Jack's Bar is falling apart. And I think I bring that up because in Sunday's paper, there was a letter to the editor talking about that. Now, why don't you do your show and tell?
Well, this is one of the smaller pieces so that came off today, so.
And for things like, so perhaps that's a facade improvement, obviously more than $25,000 worth on the facade of that under the current program. But I was going to say, you know, that's the reason also, or a reason to have undesignated, to maintain some undesignated available for those things that you don't know are going to come up next year. You know, we're talking about allocations, and I'm not suggesting that you have to allocate every dollar that we are projecting having in revenue over the next 5 years. So, you know, even as you had it with the last year for the prior ones, you know, you're allocating about, I think it was, I forget if it was 40 or maybe 60% of the total projected revenues were allocated to something going out in the future. So you still have some undesignated to play with in the future.
Okay, any other projects that are suggested for redevelopment?
I just had one comment on the Sunshade and McFadden project and some of these other ones. I mean, I've on the Sunshade, to me it feels like that plaza needs to bed in a bit, the trees need to grow a bit, and the bushes need to grow rather than just keep having you know, more building on that, especially when you've still got the gazebo question. And some issues with who's got the stuff. So it doesn't seem like we need to maybe take a break from that and put the money elsewhere this year.
What he said.
The other thing that had come up a while back for consideration, and I don't know whether this would be appropriate, but we had talked originally about trying to do sort of an entry to the downtown signs that said, you know, welcome to historic Carson City from both ends or whatever. So I don't know whether that would be something that could be on here. I have, just like everything else, we have no idea what the cost would be, but it is something to look at. Now that the downtown is completed and we know what it looks like, we didn't know what it looked like at that time. So that might be something for consideration as well. I don't know how you feel about that.
You don't just mean the little sign, but some more of a grand entry sign like the ones in Carson City, but not necessarily like those either, but which could include an arch or some other maybe type of feature, understood.
Well, that brings up the question, could anything be added to those already very attractive signs that says Historic State Capitol or something? I don't know.
Welcome to the downtown, because you don't know where the downtown starts.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay.
There's a couple street lights, and I'll bring this up with NID because I think it's a NID deal more than a redevelopment deal. But there's a couple, like there's a kiosk sign and a post right next to where there's a street lamp. And it's like you could have taken that post out and just connected the sign to the street lamp rather than having a second post right there. I mean, they're literally within 2 feet of each other. So little things like that, I think that may be able to work. But having more sign downtown, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing at all. You know, budgeting something for that.
What I mean, just an entryway sign, welcome to historic downtown, is basically what I'm looking at, or what had been suggested a couple of years ago.
Right, and just to add to that, when I think about it, I mean, an entry sign to downtown or some signs on the freeway leading people to come downtown.
They're on there already.
They're on there already? Okay. And Lee, the only other thing that I was wondering about was the complete streets presentation that we got from Patrick. And I tried calling him today, but is there any estimate of potential infusion from redevelopment on that, or is there something totally different going on there and we're good?
The South Carson Street project that's going to be moving forward for design this year, start of construction by 2019. No, there are not any redevelopment funds identified for use on that project. There are some 8-cent sales tax funds available. There's the 5-point-something million coming from NDOT. They'll be looking for grants, but that is another potential redevelopment area location for supplemental funding from redevelopment. That would be in that, on that item. It would belong in the 2018, would it be, yeah, it would need to be in the 2018 to 19 category there.
Something to think about.
Definitely, no doubt about that, and I think that that's something that's going to come down this board's pipeline. Is the city maybe possibly asking for a couple bucks to help with streets in the redevelopment areas, and maybe we take the lead on that tonight by tackling some of those issues now. But that's a good question to bring up, because I think that's something that's going to happen.
So far, we've eliminated about half of the stuff that's on there. So.
Yeah, so I think now would be a good time for Joel to come up and present on the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Joel, I'm sure since I've already seen this, you won't mind if I get up during it and go away and come back. Well, that's good. I'll hurry.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. For the record, Joel Dunn, I'm the Executive Director of the Carson City Visitors Bureau. When Supervisor Barrett returns, I will address his first question to me as far as our involvement with the Blue Line and also the collaboration with the city moving forward with the Blue Line. So I had the opportunity on November 7th to come before you under public comment to propose an opportunity to look at a collaborative project. Now, that project has, I think, been wrongfully titled as a couple of things. One, it's not an art project. It's not a facade improvement project. This is a redevelopment project. So I want to go through a quick presentation. First, I want to thank Lee for having me on, the opportunity to be on the agenda, and then mostly for adding the and/or when you said 10 minutes. So I'll try to keep it to 10 minutes. But going through on the presentation, we became a player, the Visitors Bureau became a player in the arts and culture scene coming on about a year and a half ago. We did dedicate a 1% increase in room tax to the implementation of the city's master plan on public art. During that process, as when I took over the Bureau, I started looking at trends in arts and culture in communities, successful programs, and there was a couple of communities that not only did I have an opportunity to visit, but they were using art as a redevelopment project, and that's what I'm bringing before you today. So I do have a PowerPoint that I'll put onto the screen. So the first project that I want to talk about, when I was doing some of the research, I looked at Twin Cities in Minnesota, the Artisan Storefronts is their project. And once again, this was a project that was a collaboration that started with a business improvement district, went through a couple of different advisory boards and also with the city, reaching out then to artist groups to become involved in addressing vacant storefronts in the downturn of the economy, no differently than Carson City. Cities all over across the United States had the same vacancies they had to deal with, and some jumped in quickly and started some of these projects. So the project that we're talking about first, once again, in Twin Cities, Minnesota, Artisan Storefronts partner vacant and underused commercial buildings with local artists to create public exhibits within those spaces, creating an urban walking gallery. And I'm not going to go through, I have quite a few slides, I'm going to let you read it, but kind of talking about the fact that when you're engaging artists that showcase not only their art in those storefronts, you're creating vitality, you're creating a walking district, you're creating some organized tours of what now in Carson City truly is some underutilized space. That's a quote from the public art director, the artist, I love the placemaking for the project, infusing previously blank spaces in a neighborhood with creative energy, and I love that the out of the galleries into the streets mentality it represents. Here's another example of one of the storefronts. This was a vacant storefront that the project put some art into, and it's, these are all temporary, and that's why when I say it's not, I don't believe it's a facade improvement, but if you, as a committee, decide this is a collaborative project you'd want to participate in, you'll identify where that funding would come from, but these are temporary. So once again here, Krista Murray, the Starling Project, this is one of the downtown groups that was part of this artisan storefronts in Twin Cities. Talks about that vacancy rates were climbing and often vacancy leads to more vacancy. We thought that drawing attention to the opportunities that those vacant spaces offer for temporary uses could have a positive impact on the surrounding businesses. You have 38 reasons to go window shopping in downtown Minneapolis, and it will cost you nothing. Brilliance. Now, this is from Fox News. One of the things that was very consistent when I started researching these types of redevelopment projects, media loves them. They absolutely get coverage. They have a tendency to get more marketing than I think the dollars allotted to them. So I don't think our project will be any different. Another one of the projects that I looked at was the storefronts in Seattle. And it wasn't really different as far as the engagement. Once again, you were looking at a NID, an improvement district, along with the Chamber of Commerce and some artist groups who came together collectively in a redevelopment project. Now, one of the differences in the Seattle storefront was that to address the liability issue with some of these owners that operate the building, they went into a lease agreement, which is, you know, an opportunity that I may look into when I start to broker some of these deals. But the storefronts in Seattle debuted in 2010 as an experiment in activating vacant spaces with art and performance. Now, this is another key component, performance. There were a couple of these projects that I looked at in New York City, and you'll see those here in a couple of minutes. But having an opportunity to not just have visual art as part of this project, but engaging some of these vacant spaces with some, you know, flash mob performances, maybe an opportunity to work with WNC, who I have reached out to, and they're looking at this as a huge opportunity for collaboration. I spoke in front of the Latino Students Organization on Friday, and they were really excited about hopefully looking at maybe one or two of the vacant storefronts and providing not only some collaboration with maybe artwork, but even just building the set with us. So when you, once again, look at the Seattle storefronts, they lease spaces from neighborhood property owners for the nominal rate of $1 per month. Now, if I can bring in visual art into a storefront, creating an advertised walking art gallery that operates outside of the normal hours of a gallery, we're talking about a gallery that's 24 hours. These people can walk throughout the entire redevelopment district, engaging in what we're showing as visual art. Most of these performances that I mentioned in a couple of the New York projects, they're doing the performances in the evening, sometimes on Wednesday nights where they really needed to drive foot traffic downtown into these districts. Once again, at full integration into the neighborhood, Storefront Seattle is programming up to 60 art installations per year into the vacant spaces. That's enough to instantly turn any neighborhood into a walking destination, an arts and culture destination, and a shopping destination. A couple examples of some of the storefronts. So it doesn't necessarily have to just be, you know, one-dimensional, two-dimensional art. You could be looking at three-dimensional throughout an entire storefront. I did have an opportunity also to reach out to a couple of property owners and also managers or agents representing properties in Carson City in the redevelopment district, and they all were very encouraged with the project. They would like to participate moving forward, and I'll show some of those when we get into the slide. But storefronts, Seattle, people who came to the storefront Seattle spaces are going to the coffee shops and restaurants. They are activating the neighborhood. Once again, that's why I'm saying this is not an art project. This is a redevelopment project. This is a collaborative project that all of us can get involved in. Storefront Seattle, what's special about the Storefront Seattle is that it is a juried competition for spaces. Now, a lot of these programs were not juried, and with that you do lose an element of, and I don't want to say control, but you want to have an opportunity to vet those artists that want to be a part of this project, and that may be concerning to the location. You may want to pick a performance, let's say a performance artist that wants to be engaged in, say, the Carrington Square Mall, which is a great opportunity when you have exposure from the inside of the mall to some of these spaces in the outside of the mall. But we need to have this be juried. That's an opportunity for you guys. I'm not just asking for your financial contribution in this. I think all of us need to have our feet on the ground, get our hands dirty. I think you all have some identifiable skill sets, whether that may be putting a hammer in your hand and building the sets with us, maybe contributing as an artist, or possibly being a juror on one of these jurored art panels, the sub-panels that will form through the Cultural Commission. Once again, a couple more samples, and you can see how just impactful this is when you have a vacant storefront that looks this presentable. If I were an owner of a building downtown that happened to be vacant, I would be excited to be a part of this redevelopment project. Smart spaces, this is one of those in New York. You look at, I mean, just once again, a corner lot that had been vacant that Smart Spaces came into and put up just a few pieces of art. Smart building owners understand that this art in their windows makes their space look more attractive to potential renters. No longer empty. This is another one of those that had a lot of performance art built into their program in New York. A couple examples of that, you had some poetry readings, you had exhibition openings where I would work and broker opportunities with the property owners, and we do an art exhibit, an opening. And if my portion, I'll get to that, but I would be covering whatever liability and insurance costs that the owner would require. Another example of the no longer empty, which is this was a vacant hotel in Manhattan's Chelsea Hotel in New York. Now, do we need this program? Absolutely. There's no doubt we need this program. We're going to brand our program as Reimagined Spaces, Creative Uses for Empty Spaces. It's a collaborative project bringing community together to address blight throughout the Carson City's redevelopment areas. A collaborative project addressing vacancy throughout the redevelopment areas. Now, you're sensing that I'm continuing to say collaboration. I'm taking this not only from what we've done as a community for years, but for those of you that had the opportunity to attend Mayor Kroll's State of the City address, it was all about collaboration. The article following in the Nevada Appeal was all about collaboration in our community. This is an opportunity to continue in that direction. Reimagine Spaces, a collaborative project where property owners and managers get free, positive attention for their location. A couple examples of some of those opportunities. These are all blank canvases that we can come in, create an impact visually throughout the redevelopment districts. This is the one I mentioned earlier. I did have a chance to talk with Sean with the Carrington Company as the property manager, and Sean is waiting my call tomorrow to let him know that we're moving forward with this project. And in talking, you can see that this storefront that's vacant, as I think there's two others in this mall, gives us an opportunity to do one of those performance presentations. And you can see it not only from the inside of the mall, but the outside. Now, the hopes would be that this extends past the redevelopment areas. We have some vacant storefronts that I think that if they're inspired by what we're doing, they'll follow suit. And they may reach out, and outside of whatever funding is provided through redevelopment, outside of that area, I certainly have no problem reaching out to help these property owners do the same. Now, when you think of why a Visitors Bureau? Why is a Visitors Bureau looking at this? Now, I'm not taking my matching funding for this out of what I've dedicated from the 1% for public art. Once again, this isn't a public art project. This is a redevelopment project. We have roughly 650,000 to 700,000 visitors that come into Carson City every year. A greater portion of those visitors are business travelers, and they're looking for something to do in the evenings, Monday through Friday. I'm looking at this as an opportunity for me to partner with you, spend the money to create a better visitor experience for those coming in. I need them to return. They're here on business, but there's the likelihood that they'll return to a community where they've had a good experience on business. They'll come back five or six times. So that's my investment in it. Now, Reimagine Space is a collaborative project where this certainly looks better than this. And this is no fault to any of the business owners, no fault. This is the downturn of the economy. This is what every community's faced in the United States. And a lot of communities have stepped up for these type of projects to make a difference. Now, what I'm asking from RAC, I'm asking for your partnership in funding. Now, this is where I looked at kind of some of those bullet points, those line items of where funding can come from. You do have an opportunity to fund equipment. Now, I did sense in your November 7th meeting that your only concern in purchasing equipment isn't necessarily the impact that that equipment could have within the redevelopment district and for special events or projects, but who takes care of it? Who's going to maintain? That'll be on us. The Visitors Bureau will maintain the equipment. We will store the equipment. All of the equipment purchased through this project will be taken care of by the Visitors Bureau. So the funding of $10,000. Now, if you decided tonight, I think that if we could make a pretty immediate impact, if you wanted to look at a portion of this, or if not all of it coming out of funds that were not spent for fiscal year 16, or if you were looking at a portion going to 17, I would prefer to start it sooner than not. I'm not the type that likes to crawl, walk, run. I hit the ground running. And I think this is a project deserving of jumping into and running. So that funding, if you're looking at equipment, some of the equipment that will be required, lighting. That lighting can be anything from spotlighting for some of the paintings to some spotlighting for performance, in addition to some battery-operated lighting and motion lighting for some of these facilities. And you can see there's a sample there where some of this lighting may actually be an art project in itself that will be produced and presented to the project from local artists. Funding also will go towards the required equipment for some of these displays, whether it's just simply easels to some of the hardware for hanging the art pieces, to even the purchase of some pipe and drape that could be used for special events. It could be repurposed continually for other projects. Now, a lot of those backdrops that you've seen, and some that I'll show just in the next slide, those are actually just, once again, they're art projects in themselves. I consider myself an artist. Now, I don't paint, but I make tables, I make chairs, I make backdrops, I repurpose equipment. There's a lot of palettes that are used in art displays in the storefronts in some of these projects. Now, this would all be locally, you know, purchased equipment, some of the lumber from our local stores, pipe for, once again, some light fittings. Now, I will come back at each one of your meetings, give you an update if required on where we're at and what we've spent, where that equipment is, if you partner with us in this project. Now, these are some of the samples of what we would end up building, constructing, and or purchasing for displays. And you can see that all of these were used in some of those displays you saw in other programs that mirror this throughout the country. Now, once again, the CVB's partnership. Now, not only are we looking at whatever you allocate, if you allocate $10,000, we're going to match it with $10,000. If you allocate $5,000, I'll go $5,000. I hope we match it then with $5,000 the following year. What that money will be used for is advertising. We're going to take on the component of advertising, all of these special events, creating printed collateral for the walking art galleries, in addition to brokering those relationships with the property owners, taking care of whatever insurance requirements there are, if it's even as simple down to just some liability waivers. will also pay for the cost of construction, commission, and decommission of each one of these pieces. Some of them may be up for a week. Some of them may be up for a year. It all depends on the relationship we develop with the vacant store owners. But also, artists need to be paid for their work. So we'll take care of the, albeit small, but we'll pay for the stipends for the artists. Now, the partnership that comes from the Cultural Commission, when I had a chance to present in November, there was maybe some concern or a suggestion to look at the money that's sent to the Cultural Commission for special events for this. Once again, this is not an art project, and I don't feel that I want to go back to the Cultural Commission. That money, and you can see that it's going down each year as allocated from your budget, that money's been dedicated. That money goes to art projects. That goes, it's a different source. But I do believe the Cultural Commission has to have some skin in the game. I think they need to step up, and I'll present this in a March meeting to the Cultural Commission, but I think their responsibility would be doing the volunteer management, which may take a lot more time than allocating $10,000 on both our behalf for this. But I see that, you know, not only will my board, but the Cultural Commission and possibly some members from this committee will be part of that volunteer force that they'll be managing for these special events. I think I took a little bit more than 10 minutes, but any questions on the project?
Looks like we have a number of them. I know I have some, too. I'm going to let you guys start. You want to start with Jason first?
Thank you for the presentation. It was excellent, and I like the imagery. I've seen these kind of things in my – I lived in England, and there was a stretch of vacant buildings that they did a lot of painting. Now, I haven't seen the three-dimensional work, though. That's quite great. My question is whether the scope of the program would be limited to local artists or any kind of regional bias you see, or how it would work like that.
Yeah, I think that this calls for just local artists. So when we work with the Cultural Commission and Mark Salinas, the first step would be doing a call to artists for this project, looking at a request for qualifications, and then proposing that to the sub-panel that's put together to jury this piece. But I do think we want to reach out primarily to just local artists first.
Okay, and the follow-up was, do you see this being newly commissioned art? I mean, some of the installations may be, but otherwise is it just going to be a mix, or how would it work like that?
Yeah, I think it would be a mix. I think that when you're looking at it, a lot of those projects, when you look at they're artists that have never been engaged and never had an opportunity to exhibit their art pieces. So I think we would see a lot of new art. We would also see almost a form of advertisement. When I mentioned earlier the performance arts, I would see WNC and their theater company, the Wild Horse Children's Theater, taking the opportunity to use this to promote sales for upcoming performances. So.
John next.
Yeah, I'm curious to have that question answered I asked earlier. This is the appropriate point. How much do you kick in on the blue line if we ever get it done?
You bet. Great question. And I think in your absence, I did say that I would address that before I left the table. I contribute a considerable amount of marketing dollars and staff time to the promotion of the blue line. Throughout just the last 2 years, we've developed a new mobile app presence in our Visit Carson City app. We've gone from the 24 houses that we all were advertising on the blue line back up to 42. Having that blue line integrated in our mobile app gives us that opportunity. We've also increased the visitor experience. And now this all comes at a pretty hefty price. I had an opportunity to add an audio component. So now when you take that mobile app to each one of the 42 spots in the blue line, you have an audio component. So you're not just simply reading a little bit of the history of the blue line. You're hearing an audio component that's time appropriate, somebody talking Old West and talking about the house. We have drastically increased the visitor experience in the blue line because it's a great asset for this community. Now, moving forward, we are currently working with the City of Carson City on a couple of grants that they've put in for and some grants that we'll be putting in for. We're looking at enhancing, yet again, the experience of the blue line. One of the missing components in a better experience in the blue line is beacons. And those beacons, the purchase of a beacon, will allow us to do a geolocated push. What that does then, instead of you having to walk to a house, pull up on the app, and push play, because I can geolocate that location within, say, 10 feet of the front of the house, I could push a augmented reality experience to you. I could push that audio component. I could create video component that then would add it to it. we could, once again, in a collaborative effort, maybe even look at what we have as a great experience in our Ghost Walk and incorporate some of our Ghost Walk experience in that with a push notification, and those beacons will allow us to do that. I'm looking, I've got a couple of proposals, local sign shops, in redoing all of the signage in the blue line. It's drastically needs to be replaced, and we're looking at a cost of about $35,000 to $45,000. Once again, that will fall on the Visitors Bureau, because our responsibility in the blue line is marketing. And although the signs may fall a little far on the marketing side, it is a change that we made in our app. It's a change that we made so we could market all 42 locations. So I think it's on us to take the responsibility and look at that funding for new signage.
That covers it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Secondarily, I know that Mark's background is in window dressing as well as other things, and I wonder how much of his hand is in this and if he'd care to address what he thinks of this project. And I ask that because I know that's an art form, whether this is an art project or not.
Thank you. Mark Salinas, Arts and Culture Coordinator, for the record. True indeed, I spent a number of years in my old business that I closed up to come out here. It was primarily retail window experiences, the opportunities to actually make a head turn. And most of what we see in the windows is something that's going to attract you inside the building. You don't want to sort of show it all there on the sidewalk, where someone on the sidewalk makes that determination if they're not going to, if they're going to go into the store or not. You want to leave a level of curiosity. And I think that an opportunity like this lends that curiosity not only to visitors, not only to residents, but to those people who might be looking to purchase or lease the space. It serves many purposes, and I see it very much as a community beautification project.
Thank you. I have one more question, but I'll come back to it. You go ahead, because I have to think of it again.
No problem. Ronnie, would you like to go ahead?
Yes.
Sorry.
I sort of did some study on this as well about Seattle. I was just up there 3 weeks ago. And also on the Minneapolis, and noted that most of, you're talking about 38 storefronts here. How many storefronts do you see, excluding the Carson Mall? Because I don't think people are really going to, you know, one of the things that we would like to do is turn the whole mall into an artist colony type thing. This is something we've been pushing. But I'm just curious how many in the downtown core you see are vacant that you would use this storefront project for.
Boy, I tell you, I looked at certainly more than just in the downtown corridor. When I went out to just take a few of the pictures to put together the PowerPoint presentation for tonight, I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough time to hit all of the buildings. When you look at the defined barriers within the redevelopment areas, there are several vacant storefronts. In my PowerPoint, there was actually two that they're not vacant. They're vacant 20 months out of every 2 years because they're used during legislative sessions. And I'm pretty confident if having an opportunity to sit down with them, they will work on allowing us through this project to beautify their windows so that when visitors are downtown, when people are visiting even the mall, what better way to kick off if you're looking at kind of redefining and rebranding the mall? What better way to introduce that art community? You've had a couple of successful events this last year. You've got some vacant storefronts. I went all the way out into even the old, I call it the Mervyn's Mall, but now you've got Kohl's, and there's several within there. You go all the way out. There's vacancies everywhere in this community that could benefit from this program.
Well, that goes into my other question. You know, you were talking Minneapolis and Seattle, and their funding came primarily for 501c3s, artist associations, state, you know, art, the whole bit. I didn't see any monies at all come out of redevelopment for that. I think it's a great project. I was just in Seattle, saw some of these that you picture here. Had no idea that was, you know, part of an art project when I was there. But I also, you do not put in your presentation at all about DBA.
I appreciate you bringing that up. I did have an opportunity last Thursday to present at the general membership of the DBA, which is the Downtown Business Association. So this is a collaborative group that represents most of the downtown businesses in downtown. They were ecstatic. I guess I kind of sound like maybe our government right now saying that everybody was in support, but everyone was in support. They thought this was a great project. They were excited. They were excited to see whether it was a building next to them, have an opportunity to have art in their window to bring more people downtown. They certainly were in support of it. Once again, as I mentioned, I've talked with Western Nevada College, talked with a few of the business owners and also business groups. So I appreciate you bringing that up. No, the Downtown Business Association is certainly in support of this, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was an opportunity to bring them in as a maybe even a funding partner in the future. They've expanded outside of just funding the wine walk, and they've been doing a lot of other special projects. They've collaborated with us on a few others. The banners that we did downtown, that was partly funded by the DBA. So I think they're excited to be a part of this project.
Yeah, I think what my question really comes down to is what is their funding portion of it, because the downtown, you know, RAC has done a lot. I mean, we put like a million or more basically in the end in the downtown. So I think sometimes that businesses have got to put in some skin in the game also. And this is not a lot of money. And even from RAC, it's not a lot of money. But is this something, I mean, have you talked to the landlords? Are they willing to put some monies up? I know you talked about the fact that, you know, you would put in the insurance and the whole bit. But there seems to be a lot of due diligence, I think, before we can make any kind of decisions as who, what, when. Who is going to put up the monies? Have you, I don't know, what happens if something is rented, you know, within a week or so after you put something in? I mean, that's a lot. There's a lot of moving parts here. And I had thought originally when this was brought up that it was going to be more for the downtown core. So I did not realize it was going to go all the way down to the shopping centers and stuff. So.
Okay, so next question would be from John here.
Yeah, I thought of my third question, which was in there rattling around. When you put these installations together, that Ronnie's question is good. The time frames involved might be short, they might be long, but we're hopefully in a fairly strong, the beginnings of a fairly strong recovery, so I'm hoping that some of them will be short. What do you do? You say you're going to put these together. You're going to have to store these things before you move them to a new location, or are they going to be the kinds of things that can be put in one area and then moved to another and used over again? And who will own them? The city, you, the Visitors Bureau, etc.
Great questions. Once again, hopefully I'll address some of the concerns that were voiced and also your question. So the Visitors Bureau currently owns 3,000 square feet of storage space off of Highway 50. We have certainly become more than, or we do more than what a typical Visitors Bureau will do. And we're storing everything from marketing vans to trailers to special event equipment that is either owned by special event promoters or owned by the Visitors Bureau. So back to the question, how do we address the vacant storefronts when they become occupied? What a great problem. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. And if we're entering into an agreement with an artist and we're putting them into a temporary display, and a week from now the owner comes and says, hey, listen, that worked. I've got a tenant. We take it down. We look at either relocating some of that artwork. The art itself, that's something that whether the art becomes owned by the city, I don't see the art becoming owned by the Visitor Bureau of the city. But the equipment itself, yes, it will be owned. Now, if my understanding of when redevelopment purchases the equipment, you're looking at somebody to take on that ownership within the redevelopment and also the maintenance and the storage. We're going to take on that component for you.
Yeah, that was what I was asking about, because there's, and of course, you know, I used to sit out there and listen to these things. There's a bias towards actual physical equipment that goes on up here. We do special events, et cetera, but if you're going to have physical equipment, that the city would still have to have access to it. Thanks.
All right, really quickly here, and help me out on this, Lee. We have in our redevelopment discretionary funds allocation plan, number two, purchase downtown equipment infrastructure to facilitate special events. To me, that is part of this. I don't know why we have to allocate additional funds when this is unused at the moment. Why can't we just take it out of that? I mean, this is a special event. No matter how you look at it, it would be something that would be ongoing that you could use at special events if you needed to. But, I mean, this is a source of funding that's not been used that could be used.
I agree with that. I think if that's the direction, and I think Joel might have even alluded to that, the $20,000 that I've highlighted there that has totally not been allocated to anything specific could be allocated towards this.
Joel, thank you. I've spent a lot of time since our last meeting when you brought this up and brought this idea to our attention, thinking about this, not only for what I do up here, but thinking about it in the real world aspect of selling real estate. You know, that's what I do for a living, and I focus more on residential than commercial. But the whole idea of what you're trying to do is you want to get people to touch it, to feel it, to be there, to experience it, and couple suggestions I have that I think may help enhance this, and a couple ideas I have that may allay some of the fears that have been brought up. So I would say that if you'd want to have a time frame, so a 30-day time frame, 60-day time frame, whatever that time frame is, and that time frame all leads up to a big event, whether that event is the performance or you already have an event that's already laid out there in the wine walk. You can make that part of the wine walk and make it a stop on the wine walk to actually get the people in there. And as the land, as the building owner and as the real estate agent, I would say that becomes more valuable to me, because now not only do I get a really cool art display that people are walking by and seeing, but I know at some point in the future, on a set date at a set time, I'm going to have people walk through my front door for an event. And if you can parlay off one of those events that's already there, I think would help increase those numbers as well. You know, and again, whether that's having a performance as the stop on the wine walk, I mean, you know, you could go crazy with that. You may be able to sell the art to further fund the program, so you can sell those displays that are in there. And then you can put in the lease, when you get into the lease with the landlords, that, you know, if you lease this property within the next, you know, 30 days, that this display stays for 30 days or 2 weeks or whatever. You don't want to go too long because, you know, that would you bind people in a little bit. But I don't think the landlord would have a problem, especially with the new tenant saying, hey, we have this art here. It's going to be here for another 2 weeks, and that's just the way that it is. After that, we'll get it out. So you can at least have a minimum time frame that the display is going to be up. I think that getting the college down there, however you can get the college down there, whether that's having a mobile bookstore that they bring to each one of these things, that may be a way to get people in through the front door, you know. But I think the trick is you got to have the open house aspect to it, where you actually get them through the front door. And for the building owner, I think that's important. That would make me feel good that I actually have people walking into my building. No matter what, I know on this date I'm going to have an event and people are going to come through. Other than that, I mean, I think that this is, I think it's a good thing. Our whole idea is to try to fill up these empty stores. And if we have a plan, we have someone who's willing to do a lot of the footwork and a lot of the manual labor that's going to go along with it, for 10 grand, you know, to see if something, you know, an idea out of the box is going to help do that. I would be all for that, and I would support that. I think that's a good thing.
Question, clarification. You, when you said sell the art, you mean the art, not the fixtures that, yeah, okay.
So I think I go back to why can't we use the existing funds? It seems to me to fall under that category, because you're looking at lights, you're looking at things that can be used elsewhere. So it's not just to the purview of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, or the Visitors Bureau, I'm like you. The Visitors Bureau, and, you know, it would be just like the projector. It doesn't really belong to one entity. It belongs to the city of Carson City, to address your point, and then it becomes available to whomever. But going to your point, I think that most of the storefronts, and I saw these in Seattle, as I said, I was just recently there, you cannot physically go inside the building. All it does is enhance that you don't have the look of empty storefronts, because there's nothing inside the building. Otherwise, it wouldn't be empty.
Well, and that's where I think being a smaller community, and you know, you're gonna see downtown that you're gonna deal with about 10 different people. It's about how many proper owners you got. So you're getting the people in there, and I think for the building owners, sure, are they gonna maybe have to put some rugs down or slap some paint on it, whatever, to make it look decent? Sure, but getting people through that front door, that is super super important, and I think that's something that could be done with this. So
to do what?
To show off the art that's there, but
it's in the window.
I get that, but the point is that you want somebody as so. Here's how I would handle it as a real estate agent. So Joel comes to me and says, "I want to have your building there." I go to my client, get their permission, and I would bring in. I would have about 10 to 15 different ideas of what could go into that particular space, and as people came into that, I would do my own advertising and marketing to try to get those people there. But I would say, could you imagine having your own ice cream shop in here? Could you imagine having your own restaurant? And you start putting people that are coming there, because you don't know who those people that are coming there. They may be somebody who's a state worker who's always wanted to open up their own small business, and they see this as the opportunity to do that by actually going to the space and physically seeing it. I think that's the advantage that you would get.
So what you're looking at is like a realtor open house?
In essence, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because I don't think you could have somebody from your office staffing all day long these different places, so it would have to be for an event. I think we're getting really deep into here. I really think that I think the solution here is there's no new monies. Their money is available, and I think that's really the issue.
Yeah, I had a couple questions, and most of them were covered by the group, so thank you for that. And Joel, appreciate your presentation. When we talked about the groups that you talked about, that you had already spoken with the Downtown Business Association, but it wasn't really highlighted here, who all have we included in this collaboration, or who have we talked to? Mostly what I'm concerned about, though, is who is it really going to be collaborating with? It sounds like RAC, it sounds like you guys, it sounds like the Cultural Commission. Anyone else?
No, the proposal before you tonight is a collaboration tonight between the Visitors Bureau and the RAC. I will propose to add to that collaboration the Cultural Commission. That will be a non-monetary contribution to do the volunteer management. If you choose not to fund this tonight, if the Cultural Commission had chose not to be, we're still moving forward. I don't spend valuable time and effort to put together a proposal for a project that I don't think is going to be impactful. So we certainly would move forward with it. But currently, the three primary contributors would be RAC, Visitors Bureau, and also the Cultural Commission for Volunteer Management. The other that I mentioned, the Downtown Business Association, that's either business owners that will participate more on the benefit side of this project. In talking with Western Nevada College, the Latino Students Organization on Friday, that's more contributing in volunteer hours. So they're not really contributing on the collaborative management of this. You would be contributing the funding, as would the Visitor Bureau. We take on the management of this project moving forward, and the volunteer management would come from the Cultural Commission.
Okay. Thank you, and I guess just to clarify exactly what the money would fund, it's primarily hardware and hard items that would facilitate the ability to put art in these locations. Am I correct?
You're correct. That is the direction that I brought the proposal, and I think that you're correct in looking at the unallocated, the $20,000 that's left. You are looking at an opportunity to purchase the equipment. That's what I'm asking. If you were to agree that your collaboration in this is first the funding of that equipment, even if it was one shot and it came out of the current fiscal funding, I certainly would hope, as most of you know, I'm pretty data-driven. I take a lot of calculated risks when I do take risks. And I plan on being back in front of you for next year and talking about how successful this program's been, providing some of the data to show that, and maybe looking at some ongoing funding for this project. Because once again, I don't want this to move forward as an art project. I want this to be a redevelopment project that we're collaborating on.
Okay, and then the last question slash comment here, the locations that you showed, is that really as extensive as the locations you'd like to see? Because I guess the dilemma that I would see in the wide variety of locations that you have is people are going to be moving from walking to some of them or stepping out of their car to see them to just driving to them. And I would say that it would be a more, I feel, seeing it would be more effective if it was more focused on the walking one and more focused in a clustered location, close by locations. I know we don't want empty retail space all in one spot, but more than from the Carson Mall all the way down to past Denny's, you know what I mean? It just seems like such a large area for people to have to go visit. I think they would visit if they're going by car, but you may not have as an effective program. But that's just more of a comment. So I guess with that, what I would say is that for $10,000, it does seem to fit, in my opinion, with the special event equipment funding, and $10,000 to start something like this isn't that much. But I would say that I think the goal of redevelopment and the direction that we've been going has been to put into Carson City some of the more hard improvements, some of the more permanent effective items to facilitate programs. And so that's where I would see the program kind of limiting it to that.
Okay, if you don't have any objection, I would like to try to attempt a motion or further discussion.
Okay, is any other discussion with the group here before we go to public comment? Okay, and Lee, what was that?
Let me process why. So I think first of all it's valuable to the Board of Supervisors Redevelopment Authority to have a ranking from you. Not we're going to go back eventually, get to this and fill in the blanks and balance out or leave some carry forward funds and have some. We're going to fill this out based on your priorities, but I think it's value up front to go through this exercise. And in fact, while they were doing the arts project, I took your prior discussion into consideration and dropped down. I think what I heard is the ATM, car charging, and downtown magazine racks can drop off the discussion for this time. And I'm going to look to Chris as the board as we go through this. I won't make any changes. It's up to you to get some consensus as we go back to that and make changes. But I think I heard, well, for the purposes of ranking, those are lower. So just to make the ranking of these other things easier, if we drop those off, then we have 1 through 7 of these. Back to Ronnie's comment and others about the public art program being under that current infrastructure category, that's true, but I can't spend anything out of that $20,000 without going to the Board of Supervisors, and I don't want to go to the Board of Supervisors without a recommendation from RAC. So therefore, I would like you to still rank and consider that, and if there's some consensus that we want to try the $10,000 out of that, we'll go back and make that change and formally make that recommendation to the Board of Supervisors.
In that case, if you're going to operate that way, I have one more question of the Visitors Bureau. Joel, do you have a problem if the city owns the structures or the parts that we're talking about and you store them, so that we have access to them for other events?
Not a problem. I think that's a good use of the money. I think when you're talking about pipe and drape and the lighting, they could be used for many special events. So great opportunity for both of us.
Okay, so with that, is there any other public comment out there on this item? Okay, so Lee, what you were saying was that gaining the group's input on the items. I think, are we all in agreement? Oh, Jason, go ahead.
I just have a question about this. For example, this the first one on the alley improvements. Ronnie, what did I mean, when I looked at that, I looked at it a couple times over the past week, and I mean, I think like the Archway has opportunity to become like one of these selfie spots for Carson City, for example, if you could kind of make it some kind of iconic Reno Arch kind of thing. Beyond it, I'm kind of concerned inside the alley, without knowing what the horseshoe becomes, that it's going to be an appropriate space. I wasn't sure, or that they're going to have to rebuild that fire escape or entryway to the apartments, or I just wasn't sure what the scope of this improvements would be.
Well, good question. When they first did this, the plan was that it would be a gathering place as well, so that the restaurants that were operating there would have tables and chairs, and they sort of did that initially. And for some reason or other, it just, in fact, Jeanette Kelly is here. She can probably shed more light onto it, but there, for some reason or other, it just never really took off. And it is a real blight in the downtown. And to address what you were saying earlier about the hardscape, I mean, that's what redevelopment is really about, is to try to get rid of the blighted areas. So Mark Salinas and I did go over there, check it out. I think there are some possibilities there. I have no idea what the cost will be. But because it is part of Telegraph that will be, you know, and it's between Curry and downtown, it could be really cute.
I would foresee going into design and looking to improvements there that tie in with the downtown improvements, maybe, you know, with bench, with both surfaces, benches, and maybe bike racks, but doing some design that would tie it in.
So for this year, would we just be funding design work or design alternatives, or?
Oh, no, it would be like with the 100. So for the other side streets, we've allocated 100,000, which is it's basically the cost of construction. So that's what RAC has funded before. It's the 100,000 for the side streets would cover the cost of, I think it's design and construction to complete the side streets. So it would be design and construction.
Because Telegraph will be, and we talked about this last time, you know, I have an issue with the fact that it doesn't look like the other side streets with the lamps and the whole bit. So that, as you said last time, Lee, was going to be redone. The proper lighting and the whole bit was going to be redone. So you're going to have all these wonderful side streets and Curry and the whole bit, and then you've got this true alley.
So how much money do you want?
No, he just said what it would be. I don't have any idea. That was just a suggestion.
I don't think he was saying $100,000 for the alley.
No, I wasn't saying $100,000 for the alley. And again, on this, and with a lot of things, how much, I think you need to have that discussion. So what gets filled in at this point is not your recommended funding for these items. It's your rank, and I think there's your priority. So we want to establish priorities first, and depending on where that falls on priority, but It would depend on design. So if an alley is half of the street with the sidewalk, it's $50,000, or, you know, probably somewhere in that ballpark.
So I think what we're hearing here is we need to kind of keep that general ballpark in mind as we prioritize. I think if we have any other questions on the other improvements that might have a cost associated with them, we can ask those. But we should go ahead and prioritize these to get started. Go ahead,
I would have a question on, and we touched on it a little bit, the shade structures. It sounds like right now we're going to say that that's already part of what was been paid, so there's no additional fees?
Well, when Supervisor Bagwell was on RAC, she was actually the one that brought this up. I think there's some minimal, there's some shade structures on the existing structures that are still planned to be finished for the parent seating area by the fountain and those things, but I think, and again, I'm not sure, speaking for her, what she had in mind or what else has been looked at, but I assumed it was a much larger shade structure than what has been already planned and budgeted for.
And also, you already have an overhang there that is part of that encroachment issue that used to be shade structure for everybody, which apparently it is not anymore, so I think that has to be fleshed out as well.
Yeah, it might be next year's.
Is there a way that we can, because I think the charger is a great idea, to be able to have that, especially downtown.
We've got one right here.
But that's not downtown. It's close. But here's the deal. And here's, we don't even need to spend any money. Let's go to Tesla and let's ask him to put a charger in. Why wouldn't they do that?
That's why you have notes.
What he said.
Okay. Why don't I jump in and take a stab at the numbers? How about that? Okay. So from my perspective, I see we didn't talk a lot about it, but I would say the Spear Street Children's Museum improvements as number one from my perspective. Number two would be, I would say Telegraph Alley, number three, South Carson Street, number four, the code enforcement officer, number five, the downtown entry signs, number six, the art program, and number seven, the McFadden Plaza.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go ahead.
My number one would be the code enforcement officer. The number two would be the Children's Museum improvement. Three is the public art program. Four is the Telegraph Spear Street Alley improvement. Five is McFadden Plaza. And the others, I didn't really give much weight to, so you can do six and seven, however you want to do it. So you do downtown entry six and then seven.
I'll give it a try. I'll do code enforcement officer one. I'm going to do the public art two, because I think the investment is so low. And three for Children's Museum, four for the alley. Five for South Carson Street, six for entry signs, and seven plaza enhancements.
Garrett, you want to jump in? Or?
Sure. So number one for me would be South Carson Street. Number two would be public art. Number three would be the Children's Museum. Number four would be the entry signs. Number five would be the alley. Number six would be the plaza. And number seven would be the code enforcement officer.
John.
Before I go, I'm curious. This is just a ranking that goes under what you already have here, right?
Prioritizing.
Yeah, so these priorities that are already listed with funding are higher in the ranking that will go to the Redevelopment Authority?
I wouldn't necessarily characterize it that way, because we'll move over to the funding chart, so you could decide to take away funding, that these become higher priority, and you remove funding from one of those existing ones.
But at this juncture, that's the staff guideline or idea.
Right.
Right, okay. All right, number one would be the alley, number two, the public art, number three, code enforcement, number
four.
I'll go slower.
Three, code enforcement, okay.
One is the alley, two is public art, three, the code enforcement officer, four would be South Carson. The rest of them aren't going to make it, but it doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, I cost off downtown ATM car charger and downtown magazine racks, so whatever's left above that.
Yeah, entry signs, McFadden Plaza.
McFadden Plaza would be the lowest, because I don't think we should do that shade till next year.
So you got two blanks on. You have a five and a six to use on East Spear Street or downtown entry signs.
Spear, five, sign, six.
Okay, let's see, how many number? We have a tie.
Well, as you know, Lee, tie always goes to the runner.
Yep, still tied, okay. But that's okay.
320, telegraph and code enforcement.
I didn't see that.
To drop highs and lows and do Olympic style judging, I guess.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm really confused now.
John, we're going to go back and prioritize.
Well, I understand, but as I understood it, the reimagined public art was
down.
Already in the 20,000.
And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah. That's what I'd like to get to.
So you want to do it that way. Just make me understand this. You want to do it that way. So it's a one-year funding, and they got to come
seed
back
money.
Next year.
Yeah. No, because what we've been trying to do is just seed monies.
Right.
Because I think, honestly, that businesses you've got an opportunity for the car dealers, for the ones who use all kinds of people. Say this window is false.
Okay.
It's easy.
You want to take a break?
Lost our chair.
Might you take? Chairman says take a 5-minute recess.
Thank you. To seed the money for 1 year to get the things they need, and then from there, go on and let the DBA and whomever pay for it.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to call the meeting back to order, and before we continue here, I'd like to offer up one more opportunity for public comment. We've been talking a little bit about the priorities, and just have that opportunity here.
Thank you. For the record, again, Joel Dunn, Carson City Visitors Bureau. So looking at the work that you've put in on some of the proposed projects, I see that you have a tie between two, and I would like to encourage you to look at one of the two for maybe priority funding over the other, and that would be the code enforcement officer. And the reason why I'm encouraging you to look at that is as maybe the number three project would be the impact that position has. I can tell you right now we have an amazing code enforcement officer that does much more than just enforcing parking tickets downtown. In fact, their work has taken them outside of just that downtown area. They're also used quite often as visitor ambassadors in communities. So if you, and I know that earlier it was mentioned that the NID would maybe want to sit down at the table with the city and redevelopment looking at that position, I would want to sit at the table also. I'd want to look at maybe if there's an opportunity for us to even kick in a little funding for that position, although, you know, $50,000 certainly isn't covering the employee package, the benefit package that comes with a city employee. Kelly, as our code enforcement officer today, is probably one of our top visitor ambassadors. She meets everyone that she meets face-to-face downtown with information, letting them know what they can do and how to do it in Carson City. I think she's probably drove more downloads to our mobile app than even we have in our own office. So I want to thank her for that. But I would encourage you to look at that as maybe your top in those two tied priorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. And Vice Chairperson Ronnie asked if anyone wanted to change their vote based on that.
No, I mean, the only thing I would say is let's have that conversation. Let's have that conversation with NID and with the Visitors Bureau and see where it goes. Because if we can save redevelopment some money to put towards other stuff, let's do it.
No, yeah, I think you can consider. Mr. Chair, would you like me to kind of go over how I think we want to go through this at this point?
Thank you, Lee. Yes. Would you like to give us a primer as we go into this?
So I think I'm going to look to Chris to get consensus among you and tell me to make changes up here to fill this in. Let me show you a little bit how this is going to work. Like I was thinking, you know, for example, the arts rank pretty high. We've talked about the $20,000 there, making that $10,000. And if that's funded for $10,000 there, we can do things like that. Furthermore, as we get down so you have priorities on here, the first of which are these side street projects. So that may be a high priority, but that might not put it first in line for chronological funding, because there's some things like South Carson Street is happening on a definitive time frame. Curry Street improvements, which is already funded, is happening on a definitive time frame. Those things are taking up all the time of Public Works in terms of planning and design for those projects, so they can't take on additional projects. So while this is a high priority, you know, identify it, it may be we're going to need to put that out at least a couple years from now to start allocating funding to that project, because there's not the capacity to implement those projects in the next year or two. As we're looking at this, I have an undesignated carry forward line towards the bottom that is just for the purpose of if we want to carry forward $100,000, that reduced the undesignated for this year and pushed it to the next year so we can continue that to as we need to balance this out. As you can see in right now, with just the allocations from which the existing ones on the top half in 2018-19, without any further modification to those, there's actually no undesignated for anything. But as we carry forward money from any savings in the prior year, we can fill that in to allocate some money. So that's how the table's going to work. So I guess that was the first thing I heard was the special event, the infrastructure, the reimagined public art space, the $10,000. The other thing you do is look up to these cells up here, and are there like the facade improvement program, and there was this some discussion if you want to increase that funding. So I don't know, maybe that's the next place to go.
Okay, so yeah, so this can get a little complicated unless we frame it up a certain way. So let's just look at this year current, which is the current column B, and then what we think could happen this current time frame with the money, right? So that we can at least line that up.
Yeah, so I think as far as this current fiscal year to start, but before we spend a lot of time on the current year, I want to make clear that we have the utility. That's true. We have the utility assistance. So a lot of this is not fungible. We've already allocated $200,000 to the site improvement program. We're not moving that anywhere else. Special event funding has been allocated. We're not moving that anywhere else. So we're just talking about these two categories in terms of this year. Furthermore, in looking at these things down below, let me look, entry signs. I mean, really, these are all projects with the exception of the art project that are going to go to next year. However, the appropriate place for that was with, and I think $10,000 would be appropriate to leave in there in case something else comes up between now and July 1st. What you might consider, though, is dropping some of this $40,000 into undesignated or into actually to carry forward. How much of this do we really need without a project in mind going forward? And I would suggest if it's $20,000 going forward, it's maybe. I think $40,000 covers a couple projects was the intent, so might want to drop $20,000 down to undesignated or carry forward.
Right. So, and John, you're commenting here. All I was trying to do is trying to get us to focus on something simple to start, and then we can pick away at the other because it's like we're doing almost a three-dimensional prioritization here. So.
Personally, I also think that carrying over monies from year to year for something else that may come up makes sense because we don't have enough money to do anything major. We've got $10,000 here, $20,000 there, or whatever. For example, in the future, if we have more facade needs, we can move some of that money around. But I don't think it all needs to be allocated at once.
I'm certainly okay with a little bit of a buffer space. I think what Mr. Barrett said earlier in that facade improvement program, I think initially up front that's what we really need to hammer out is I think we can all agree $20,000 from 2017 to 2022 is probably a little low to have budgeted for that. So what's that number? I think we could take the utility extension assistance for this year, column B, and take away, it was 40, at least got it to 20. If we took that 20,000, rolled that over into undesignated, and put that towards the facade improvement program, but I this is just my personal opinion, I definitely want your guys' feedback on what you think the magic number for the facade improvement program is, but I think it's got to be $100,000 for 2017 to 2022. And granted, are we going to use $100,000 every year? Maybe not, but if we're talking $25,000 per building, that's only four projects at $100,000. So I think it has to be at a minimum $100,000 for that facade improvement program, just my opinion. How do we get there?
Save.
Well, and remember, some of the facade improvement programs weren't all $25,000. I mean, it would still be possible to fund more than potentially four projects. But you're right. Yeah, the projects at the level we've been wanting to do have been significant.
And I would agree with that. I mean, $100,000 sounds about. I mean, say that's like, for example, the example I had before, Jack's Bar. That was a one-time quoted. Just the structural integrity of the building was something like $100,000. You know. A project of that scale, I mean, you're not, I think I'd like to see that our committee could, you know, could contribute to that at some point if that need did come up.
Right.
So if we take the premise that it's $100,000, what's some ideas of how we get there?
But I thought that we had a top number of, I don't remember now, $25,000 per incident, if you will. So like if Jack's Bar came to us, it would be $25,000 in matching. Or
as an amendment? I mean, again, maybe it's a special, you know, there. I mean, they've amended the program before. Maybe it's an amendment because of the pressing need. This is a project we identify, perhaps, and so we can change the rules for that.
I agree.
Okay, so let's at least talk about consensus on the art program. Does anybody have any conflicts with that, or are we good? We're good. Is that's equipment? That's part of the 20,000 of special event funding for equipment. Okay, we've got that. Now, so if we're thinking nothing else this year, is that correct? Or are we thinking anything else this year, even the code enforcement officer, not in enough time?
It would have to be a budget for next year, yeah.
Okay. So with that, then any other adjustments to the funding? We did take 20,000 out of the utility assistance. Does anyone have any conflicts with that, or should we change it even further? I mean, if we have no projects, could we take all 40 that was allocated to that, Lee?
You could if you don't. Yeah, probably at this point, that probably wouldn't need to be expended. I mean, without a project that's even talked to us at this point and developing the program, I can't see where somebody would need that would actually have a project before July 1st. So I can't even imagine it going that quick. So it would almost be certain that it would be after the first of this year. I mean, after the start of the next fiscal year.
So that goes to your comments, Jason. You know, why don't we just put that money in, and when we need it, if it is a Jack's Bar or anything else or truly blight, then you have that for consideration. So,
yeah, I say put it in undesignated carry for the entire amount.
Okay. Well, so at the bottom is my carry forward. So as I adjust that, I don't know what the magic number is for to leave an undesignated this year in case something else comes up. Is there, maybe that's a good, what's your target for undesignated? Well, no, that's this year. Just because that's the remainder of this year, that doesn't mean that needs to be the same for future years. So maybe I just a suggestion. Let's leave it at 50 for now. I've now carried forward funds to the following year to give plenty to allocate to the facade improvement and other things. So why don't we move to the next year?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so for 2017, 2018, we did talk about facade improvement program increasing. What
was
number?
Was it 100,000 over a period or the first 1 year?
The only question I have is we do these. We do have, I guess it's already in the budget, the designated funds for Campanis. And then also, that has nothing
those
to do with this.
These are all, that's already accounted for, and this is what's left.
And what about if Michael Hull comes up?
Is that a new incentive or?
Yeah,
that's
that
all.
Would be.
The existing auto dealer incentives are included in here. This does not count any future allocation that the board decides to take from this.
Got it.
Including the one that was just taken last year.
Yes.
How'd that get in there?
I don't know. The one we know that was approved is estimated in this budget, so I'm not. That's already taken out, and this is the remaining undesignated in the budget.
You're talking for budgeting purposes.
Yes.
I'm confused again.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, I'm not sure I understand how to frame the question.
So, if it's talking about the auto dealer, so the Hull was mentioned, there's an agreement that was made, whatever number of years ago, and it's been agreed that the general fund has been reimbursed each year from the redevelopment fund, so that has been put into the budget each year. That's not to say the board cannot take it out of redevelopment 1 year if they so choose not to do that or change it. But for budgeting purposes, that's how it's been carried forward. Same thing with the Campani payment. It's you're right. For budgeting purposes, it has not been decided to be taken out of there, but it's in there for budgeting purposes at this point and excluded from this pool of funds. Is that clear, John?
Yeah, that makes sense because you have it as 170,000 next year out of the RAC, or the redevelopment budget. So this is aside from that. Got it.
Does that decision yet have to be made?
Yes, by the Board of Supervisors, Redevelopment Authority, and the budget.
Okay, so let me just recap where we're at with 2017-2018. We increased the facade improvement program from, I believe it was $20,000 to $100,000, and that came from undesignated available moving forward funds from this current time frame. We have the remaining numbers up there. We have $20,000 for utilities extension assistance. That could still be a potential project. Special event funding, $55,000. And then the remaining numbers up there. So do we see any possibility of doing the code enforcement officer next year?
Yes.
Right? So
let me put those numbers. I'll put those numbers in there so we could see what we have left.
Okay. If you could put them in there, Lee, and we can simulate how this all looks. Okay, go ahead, Garrett.
So while I think that we should have that conversation of splitting that around, I just have no idea what redevelopment has anything to do with code enforcement and how that helps redevelopment and how that helps us grow our redevelopment districts. That is beyond me how that does anything to help better the redevelopment district in either one or two to have more, to issue more tickets. That just doesn't make sense to me. And I know, yeah, that I know that there's some other intrinsic values in that and them getting to have some human contact and things like that, but that would be a city budget for me, general budget, rather than redevelopment.
And the reason that I think I'm so strong on this, Garrett, again, is the signing issues. There's lots more than issuing parking tickets. I mean, I hardly ever see a parking ticket being issued. And if they're
paying, just giving a ticket to a business owner for a sandwich board sign.
I'm not even talking about that.
District.
I'm talking about this.
So
you've got to have some codes in a downtown. You've got to have certain signage requirements. I'm not even saying that it's going to be ticketing. It's just giving warning that you've had this temporary plastic sign or whatever you want to call it up there. Yeah, the signage ordinance right now says you can keep it up there, I think, for 3 months. Some of these have been up for a year and a half. It's just making sure that they're done, or there are certain things in front of businesses right now that you're going, why is this here? You know, this really doesn't make sense. So I don't think it's to tell people that, or give them a citation that would cost them dollars. It's just keeping the downtown looking terrific for our visitors, for our locals, and making people want to come to the downtown core.
And I guess the last part of that answer is how that pushes forward our mission of redevelopment. Because I'm just still trying to understand if someone walking down the street sees a sandwich board and they know that there's a sale today, I think that helps the redevelopment. At the end of the day, 50 grand's a lot of money, and we could do a lot of good in our redevelopment district rather than trying to police somebody about a sandwich board sign when there's going to be other entities, NID, other places that are going to be dealing with this stuff. 50 grand for us to pay for someone to issue tickets, it doesn't push redevelopment. It doesn't help our districts in any way.
I don't think I can get out of your head about the tickets, but I just think that you have to have a unified look somehow or other, and we brought this up here many times, you know, about this. However it's funded, I really don't care. I think this is a good beginning if the NID wants to. I mean, what's the difference between a redevelopment funding this versus the NID, which is doing basically the same kind of a thing, policing itself, if you will?
Real easy, because redevelopment is for the money to go back into helping the district improve infrastructure and grow businesses and get more people to the area. And I don't even know if NID's going to do that. Again, I think this is a general fund city obligation, and that has nothing to do with us being funding police for this area, if you will.
Okay, so then why don't we look at cutting it in half then, assuming that NID would take it on? What about that option?
Again, I don't know that NID's going to take that on. I'll have the same argument at NID. At the end of the day,
well, the neighborhood improvement, the downtown neighborhood improvement district, is a much smaller subset of the redevelopment district one, much less the whole redevelopment district one and two. So, that's probably not in the cards that they would fund half of code enforcement, if any.
And I think Lee hit the nail on the head with, you know, they've been a little more lenient with the business owners because of the construction and what's going on down there. So I think you'll see code enforcement tighten up somewhat there. But I'd rather see us go through the city route first to keep, I mean, 50 grand is a lot of money. 10 grand, you know, we could talk about that. But 50 grand ongoing, you know, it's not just the 50, it's the 50 over a five-year period. I think if we can get the city, and if the city slams the door in our face and says we ain't going to do that, then we can reapproach that. But that's just my two cents on it.
And this is a recommendation that really has to be ratified by the full redevelopment board anyway. So it's just recommendations.
Let's leave the number in there for now just to simulate what this year looks like, okay? And let's make the other adjustments. Okay.
I've taken the liberty.
Excuse me, by this year, you mean next year, fiscally?
Yeah, by this year, I mean the year that we're talking about now, which is 2017-2018, to clarify. Thank you, John.
So I've taken the liberty during this discussion to put some numbers in from which you can modify. So I think that helps look and see how things can carry forward and be funded within the estimated allocation. I've, for the purposes of this discussion, I've put in the $100,000 a year for the facade improvement program, knowing that any savings in there, any of it that's not used, is also going to be available to carry forward in future years. Going through it, so the first one, the Spear Street and Children's Museum line item, these side streets, well, for one reason, so if you'll notice in the budget, in the year 2020, it's when the car deals reimbursements start dropping off and you have a lot more money in redevelopment to be able to use for other projects. So it's these next upcoming 3 years when it's a little tougher to fit in a whole bunch of really big public improvement projects because there's just not the funding that's at least looks like it's going to be available there. So even though, so this side street, remember in the next 2 or 3 years, we're with the big improvement projects within the redevelopment area. We're going to have Curry Street done. We're going to do all the side streets. I started to put the South Carson Street funding up there on the board and the timeline when they need to start construction. So again, just capacity-wise, I really think it's after that 2020-21 and as well as budget when we can really start truly putting funds into the side street. That's not to say, again, savings. Maybe next year we look at it and we can move that up. But for the budget and the revenues that it looks now, I'm suggesting that the Spear Street stuff and other side streets goes out a few years.
John?
Yeah, I'm glad you opened that door again because I'm still really lost. How did the decision to include the Compagni money in next year's budget get made? At what level was it made? How does it bypass this committee? I know how the old money.
So the car deals.
All the car dealers.
Those types of incentives between the car dealers and the city have never come through RAC.
The old money, I understood that, but what you're saying is that the new additional money for Compagni is not going to come through RAC either.
So the budget, the entire budget is not in the purview of RAC to make recommendations.
Is that
only to the extent that the board wants them to, and this is kind of the extent that the board wants a recommendation from RAC.
So there is no public vetting until it gets to the board.
For the Compagni portion? And everything else, including how much of individuals' salaries and administrative funds is on the Redevelopment Authority, Board of Supervisors.
Thank you.
I make a comment. Question, just on the downtown's entry signs, that's one I'm not quite sure why that would be maybe pushed out so far. 2016.
Only because I was looking at the bottom line here and where there's funds available.
And again, that is that a, I mean, that cost, is that a, what is that, has that been estimated?
Oh, no, you know, no, that would be a pretty grand couple entry signs, actually. They're more expensive than you think. You know, it's $100,000. Like, if you want any of these arches, a metal arch over that you're talking about going over the street, that's $100,000. A traffic signal is $100,000. So that, I mean, it's just that type of structure is in that ballpark. So it depends on how big a sign you're talking about.
I guess I just didn't envision $100,000 worth of signage, but maybe I'm.
I put this up here as a placeholder for you to have that, discussion.
Okay. Right.
I mean, I would bring it forward. I mean, that's, it seems, I don't understand why it would be pushed out so far.
Jason, you mean move it up in a sooner time frame, correct?
Sooner, yeah, sooner, that's right.
So just keep in mind that we're trying to simulate what this would look like based on our recommendations. And what I think we've got so far is definite consensus on the current year. What I'm looking for here is whether or not we think Telegraph could have anything done potentially next year. You think some design work or whatnot could happen next year, Lee, if resources were available within the city, or would that be outsourced? I'm sorry, not outsourced. What I mean is contracted.
Right. So my thought with the Telegraph to Spear Alley would tie in. They're going to start design on Curry Street. They're going to start design on the side streets when at the very top line of this is the East-West Street. So that's the downtown project. So we're putting some funds at that so that they could start that. So I thought they could start the Telegraph improvements. That actually Telegraph Alley improvements could be pushed back a year or two to substitute for the downtown entry signs.
Sorry, I mean, I thought line 18 was unallocated funds. Is that not the case? So we have
so line 18 is not, no, line 18 is not undesignated. The dark on the bottom is what, in any given year, so if I take, if I take this $200,000 away, we're $200,000 short next year, that's why, so I'm, you have more than $200,000 undesignated here to use, but to make it work for the following year, let's put in that.
Right, because we put some money into the facade improvements.
So I'm suggesting, so there's actually this undesignated number to start today in our current year budget was, you know, $265,000 or whatever it was. And we can carry forward about $240,000, leaving $25,000. So that's made the column for next year bigger and more available.
Yeah, and a lot of that went to the increases in the facade improvement program. Okay,
right.
So how do we feel about the Telegraph to Spear Street Alley improvements? Any concerns on that one? No?
It has to be done.
Yeah, so let's stick with that. We've got that nailed down. We have the code enforcement officer for next year. We could leave that, I guess, for now. And then 2018, 2019, we don't actually get to make any traction on any of the new ideas that we had, the new priorities that we added, but we did add to the facade improvement program for that year. Same thing with 2019 through 2020, but we get to do South Carson Street, some money there. Is the project going to be starting construction by then, Lee, 2019, 2020?
By agreement with NDOT, the condition of the money that the city's getting from NDOT, the project has to be under construction by 2019.
Okay, and so then we would either be funding design or hard improvements. Which one would it be?
Well, it'll be improvements because the money won't. They'll be doing design work before that.
Okay. So that would be hard improvements to Carson Street in that year, and then 2020, 21, same thing. Facade improvement went up, and then we can do the Children's Museum, Spear Street. We can also do the South Carson Street and then add the downtown entry signs if we think that's an appropriate time frame, but we were talking about moving it up.
We have 200 grand in next year's, right? Am I looking at that right? Undesignated carry forward 18?
With all of these designations include, no, this is carrying forward 200,000 so that you have enough money to fund 18, 19, 23,000. This bottom number is the undesignated available for a program or project?
You know, the number one that came out of this second was the Children's Museum, but we're not looking at doing anything until 2020. I'm thinking, because with all the downtown improvements, that should be, and there might be the Penguin coming in and the whole bit. I'm surprised that we have that so far out.
And to address that, I could, you know, so one of the things is, again, that's, yeah, if I took the South Carson Street, they're going to be under construction. I don't know how much. Let me try this. Let's do this. If I push the South Carson Street to the 2020, because that, we're not talking about the actual street improvements. We're talking about enhancements to it, which would be landscaping and additional things. So I think after the project has started would work. So if we push that out to there, and then we can make that available sooner. There's just not, again, these big projects that cost a lot of money, you got to take, you're going to have to take away from other streets somewhere else. There's $200,000 in side street projects for next year, $100,000 the year after that. Again, the idea for those were to connect Carson Street to Curry Street. I think those are still high priority. So they already, again, Public Works is designing and managing a lot of projects, so there has to be capacity. They've expressed this to me. It's not just a matter of they could have all the money needed. Well, I guess you can contract out all that as well, but that gets more expensive if you're contracting all the work out, including the management and design.
Plus, you have to have city resources to be able to work with these folks
You still have to have the resources to manage the contracts. That's true.
Go ahead, Garrett.
So just a thought. If we did, just trying to knock out as many of these as quick as we can, so we have 10,000 left in this current year for special event equipment and infrastructure. If we knocked out $5,000 in entry signs for the downtown entry signs, do you think $5,000 would cover two signs? Depends on
it
how fancy we want to get.
$2,500 signs.
and we still have 25. Yeah, exactly. Hire a part-time worker to stand out there. yeah, there you go. Get your undesignated funds. Those are 25 for this current year, correct?
Correct.
On top of the 10,000?
Correct.
So what if we took 10,000 for the entry signs for this year? And just got that knocked out, because signs are infrastructure. Yeah, 10,000.
How about 10,000 per sign?
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
I mean, I think you. I it depends on what the. If you just want a metal sign, the sign shop can fabricate that. We can get off pretty cheap. If the idea is we're making an entry way to Carson City, it takes a little more money. So, but
yeah, okay. So let's say 20, okay? And that still leaves us with 15,000 in a cushion. And then if we took the code enforcement officer and pushed it 1 year, so if we went this next fiscal year and did 50,000 towards the Children's Museum in 2017-18, and then started the code enforcement officer in 18-19, that not only gives us enough time to figure out who's going to pay for the code enforcement officer, but it also gives money for the Children's Museum to get going.
By then, Garrett, you could be back on this committee and fight it some more.
If I could just say one thing, I understand where you're coming from. You don't like the code enforcement officer who's going to stand out there with the sign, but one of the things I think you're going to find is to be able to do a project on the Children's Museum, you're going to need some funding in 2018, 2019 for planning. What do you think? I mean, that's going to cost money right there just to do design work.
It is. So you're going to have to tell Chris what other project to take it from.
Right, and then...
So what? And while you were talking, so I put the downtown signs, not in this year, I added to the carry forward and put it in the next fiscal year as a realistic kind of time frame for the program.
You know, again, I go back and I... Please chime in, guys, so let me know what you think, if I'm an idiot, and then I'll shut up about it. But at the end of the day, I think we have better use of our funds. It would be irresponsible for this committee to not at least ask the city and push the city to try to get them to get a code enforcement officer, or better yet, to enforce the code that's already there in a way that makes you and your members happy. That would be a better way to do it than try to go and spend that money right away up front. Let's at least do some due diligence to try to get what we want, and then we can always come back and add that on later. That's my two cents.
Lee, could you enlighten me with the number 9? With the double asterisk there, with the 185,000 2018-2019 for the William Street Corridor project, what are the asterisks?
So I think in last year's plan, what that says is I've moved those forward. I've moved those back. I've moved those that way farther down the road because of the Carson Street project that we won't start design till the 2018-19 period and construction after that. So that's just a footnote that's down if I scroll down lower.
Okay. So couldn't we take some of the monies out of that for the planning for the Children's Museum?
We could, assuming that was a high enough priority to take away from the William Street improvements that we thought
we
would.
We didn't have all the others last time, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So amongst those, do we think that would be a good use of the money to take away from?
Well, I think timing-wise, if we look at the total for the William Street project, which is $385,000, I think timing-wise, 1920 is more realistic for use on William Street. Again, and that's kind of where I'm getting that, because that's what I've been told, like 2018-19 would be the earliest that they would start anything just in their work program of projects they're going to be getting to that are already on the board. So that's why I'm cautious about moving all these other ones up. But in terms of allocation-wise, and again, as we do this each year, this is going to be refined as to what actual projects are coming up. The time frames are going to get more definitive next year as they get closer. So what I would do is substitute about 100, the 100 grand from the William Street Corridor project to drop it down here and put it over there. So here's, I will do that.
Yeah, I mean, let's not knock ourselves out trying to predict what's going to happen four and 5 years out. I mean, we have a general plan, but.
That off. So under this scenario, that moves up your higher priority under this round, which is, you know, the East Spear Street Children's Museum, moves that up a year. And then going into further years in the future, we would select other side streets for similar type of improvements.
So how does this look to everyone?
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Fine.
All right, so it looks like we're mostly there, if not all the way there at this time. So,
just the future, 2021. We have some double counting. It still looks like, I think, from your earlier numbers, don't we? Of like the Children's Museum work, is that not the case? And the entry signs, we're not going to pay for those.
Oh, yeah.
An upgrade.
Unless that's right. Unless that's when you want to build a $100,000 sign.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the signs idea, but I'm sure a bigger fan of doing them right than doing them cheap.
Yeah, I agree with that. Would like to entertain a motion for the numbers that we have up.
Well, sorry, again, just the line 11, the East Spear Children's Museum. I mean, are we saying the total project's 300? I don't understand why we have a gap then.
Okay, so that item, so you've specifically identified, and I'll probably split, what I'll do is split those out for to go forward for the board, because the cost of one side street is about $100,000. So the Children's Museum is the first one in 18-19 that you're allocating for. But in terms of the item, it was, you know, maybe in the future we're looking at other streets that need that similar type of help. So that would be the future. So I'll split it out so that the 18-19 is the Children's Museum and other side streets are down the line are a different light item.
And I'm going to bring this up one more last time because I have heartburn. So we're going to give $250,000 to a position that we're not even going to ask the city to fund first. Really?
So look, it's not in the cards to get a code enforcement officer in 2017-18. And again, this wasn't, Garrett, I didn't ask for this. So I don't have it. But like I said, we do have, if enforcement is a priority, we could use the help, and it's not in the cards in the city's budget with revenues to get a code enforcement officer through the general fund next year.
And this is just a wish list from us. It is ratified from redevelopment, so they may feel just as you do.
I think with that, the only question we have open is whether or not we want to spend a little more on the entry signs. Other than that, I think we've got this. Do we want to spend more on the entry signs to make them right? Maybe wait a year?
I do, but...
I mean, I feel that way, and I think John feels that way, right, John?
I do. I just don't know how much they cost. I have no
it's hard to say. It's hard to project.
But I would move it out. I mean, I rather than 5 years, well, 3 or 4 years from now, if it's next, you know, another year, that's fine with me.
Yeah, is there any way we can... It's that one, it's moving it one yearly. It's that 1 year we just don't have anything left, right? So, Joel, do you want to comment?
For the record, Joel Dunn, Carson City Visitors Bureau. Just wanted to make sure you're aware that in our March meeting for the Cultural Commission, there is a project that was proposed to the Cultural Commission for downtown arches. I've met with the group a couple of times. They're waiting to come back with a proposal so that we could work through the policies and procedures for public art, because it's being proposed as a public art project rather than signage for downtown. But I do think it would be advantageous for the group to come and talk to you. They're looking at a project that I think is more related to signage in both at the entrances of Fifth Street and Williams for the downtown. It's an arch. I can tell you the artist has a fantastic rendering that he's put together. But I would say, in my best uneducated opinion, you're looking at about $1 million project. So I'll send him your way.
That seems a bit rich for our blood here in Carson City, but okay. So if we do move it, it would have to be into 2019, 2020 to get more funding for that sign. We've got $30,000 right now. It looks like Lee's made a slightly higher adjustment. Thank you, Lee. Any other comments here?
I think it looks good. I make a motion that we accept this.
Okay, so how do we word this motion so that it makes sense with, based on the numbers? I want to make sure we can make an appropriate motion.
Yeah, I'll make sure the recorder gets a copy of this so that she knows. So if, for reference, so she'll get this into the record.
Right, so yeah, based on the numbers as reflected on the record.
Okay, so do I hear a motion for the numbers on the record?
Yep, I already made it, so I guess we need a second.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
So we have 4 in favor and 1 opposed, is that correct? Okay. And 1 absent. Okay. All right. That covers item 4C. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for working through that.
All right. And then we now move to item 5, I believe.
Okay. So at this point in the agenda, I need to explain item 5, which is on the agenda for discussion only. So normally at this spot, we have staff reports, commissioner reports, and future agenda items. Our department, this is it, and on the agenda it just says discussion only and there's no items under it. For this agenda, we started using a new program and our template, we didn't catch that those got dropped off. So at the advice of DA, this is not the point at which we're going to do staff reports and future agenda items and comments. But under, when we get down to public comment, you're free to make comment. You just can't have discussion on the items. So we'll do it that way tonight.
Okay. Okay. So with that, go to public comment. Okay. So I'd like to invite the public at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item this evening.
I'll start. For the record, Lee Plummel, Community Development. On our we may schedule a meeting next month for RAC. I have a request for the remaining special event funds that by policy they can, if there's funds remaining, they can come apply. So we'll bring that in March, and there is somebody working on a facade improvement application to bring in March. So I'll let you know as soon as possible so you can make that schedule. And that's my only comment. Thank you.
I just have one question. Maybe it goes backwards. I don't know. You can tell me if I'm wrong. But I think we need some closure as to this $10,000 that we're awarding. These gentlemen have been sitting here all night long. I think they would like some closure as well. So that is definite that we are giving them seed money for the first time for the infrastructure needs for the art program. Is that right?
So thank you. At the end of the public hearing item, I should have clarified that the Redevelopment Citizens Committee makes a recommendation. I'm not sure of the exact date of that I'll take this to the board, but it'll be, where are we now? It's going to be the first meeting in March for their allocation. For an item like that, it requires Redevelopment Authority and board approval to allocate those funds. So for that specific item, they'll be allocating it. They'll also be considering this whole plan. So I think anticipate that going to the first meeting in March. Thanks. Thank you.
All right, so you're going to have to do the dog and pony show. You've gone round one now. You'll have to do round two and three next time.
Jason?
Yeah, another question. Again, I think this is for Lee. I was looking over the when Chris was reappointed, and congratulations, and Ronnie as well. I saw that our committee has term limits for two terms, and I'm just wondering why that's the case or if that's not the case.
It's not two terms. The term for the chair can only serve two consecutive years, after which they have to be off a year before going back on. No, the terms are still 12 years. It's still, and actually RAC serves three-year terms, which not every committee does. So you could serve three-year terms for a total of 12 years.
All right. I just thought it said on maybe it's just on the website incorrectly, but it seems to say we have a two-term or a term limit or something like
I'll
that.
I'll check that.
Which
Thank
doesn't
you.
Make a lot of sense since we have so few applicants. You know, Planning Commission, these other committees seem to have a lot more applicants, and they don't have this, and they seem to maybe, oops, anyway, not that scope, but anyway, that was my question.
My only comment here at the end is that apparently we're losing somebody I didn't realize we were losing. That's Garrett LaPierre. And I want to thank him for his service, and despite his loss tonight, I know he's contributed a lot to this committee. And you can come back again and fight that sucker.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the kind words, and I'm glad to see that RAC has you as the representative on the board. You're going to do a great job here. And congrats to Chris to being the chair. You do a very good job over there. And Ronnie, I'm going to miss you.
I just want to say thank you for it. It's an honor and a privilege to help the committee, and I really do appreciate the effort that everyone's put in on the committee as well in the past and into the future. So thank you. Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Any other public comment out there before we move to adjourn? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Meeting is adjourned.
Pizza. Thank you.